Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Better late than never, I guess. We're off and running. This program is live. It's the 24th day of May, 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you'll find the chat room tab, and you click on that, and you pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you haven't already. And jump into the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Anatole. Wait, is Anatole folding space now too? And Dennis and Irish Dave and Squeaky and Terry and Saigon and the Warrior Witch. She'll be back in a little bit. She's off. She says she's off to do dishes. But capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who is a spacing guildmaster and has folded space to become Man Cave this Northern California afternoon. You'll also be moderated by pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy Steve from Georgistan. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, late to the mic. But as I explained both on Facebook and on Twitter, the reason for that is, well, this is a one car household, and Ferg has started a new job that's a 50-mile round trip. And so, consequently, it's either turn him loose with my car or I got to go get him. Turn him loose with my car, by the way, is a non-starter. So I've got some sympathy for... Well, I've heard John Britovo mention the fact that he has to do some work commuting from time to time for some of his tribe. I know exactly what he's talking about. But I'm here, and it's Friday on the front porch. The gang is already gathering together. If you would like to be part of Friday on the Front Porch, then by all means, run over to headon.live and click on the Skype link. And it'll take you right to where you want to be, smack dab in the middle of the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that takes place at the end of every week here, which we hold in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Every program here begins with thanks. This one is no different. Thanks go out to our 24th day of the month subscribers, folks who... a $10 a month subscriber is sacrificing all of about less than half the cost of a McDonald's hash brown patty per program. So that's thanks to Jim and Josh, Pam in Washington, and Samson. Thank you all very, very kindly indeed. If you'd like to be a subscriber, of course, just go to contribute.headon.live or go to headon.live and click the contribute tab any way you prefer. Click through and there's a little box that says where you put in the amount, and then you put in, you check the box that says make this a recurring monthly, some language like that. And you'll be part of the not yet 100 happy people who keep this all going. So as we come to the end of the week, and it is a holiday weekend, Memorial Day. Do please remember the purpose of Memorial Day. It is for remembering those people who gave their lives in the service of this country. And, we will make our annual, I go more than once a year, but just kind of go up and say hi to my ancestors, one of whom didn't come home from France, that sort of thing. But, you know, keep it in mind as you engage in other holiday fun things. I have holiday fun things planned, too. I've picked up a pork loin. It is in the brine, the seasoned brine. And this weekend it's going to be, it'll probably be Sunday. And it'll get stuffed with fresh mozzarella and freshly chopped jalapenos and fresh pineapple and tied off with butcher's twine, and we'll pour the applewood smoke to it. I think it'll be really, really freaking good. At least I'm hoping so. Again, this is sort of an experiment for some of the stuff that I plan to do for the Malloy Fest there at the end of the first week of June down in the North Georgia Hills. So where do we stand at the end of the week? $465. $465 to end the week's fundraising and stay even. And that includes a challenge from Chris in Germany, titled simply the Fuck Trump Challenge. If you ever just yell, "Oh, fuck Trump," well, this is a moment to make it count, because Chris will make the first $100 come in turn in to twice as much. So if you'd like to see your 10 become 20 or your 20 40, hell, if one person would like to see 100 become 200, Chris is there for you. The Fuck Trump Challenge of 24th May 2019, and you can just run over to headon.live and click on the contribute tab and go from there. Okay. So we're all connected with the Friday on the Front Porch gang, since I wasn't here for the filibobster. Was it good? I missed it. No, I get it. And you know, the other part of it is I apologize for my rather peremptory ending of the program last night. But when you see a warning that says, "Hey, tornado warning," not watch, warning. I know the difference. Yeah, we spent about 45 minutes in the basement last night. Trust me, it wasn't fun. But things got real quiet. Golf, and over on my social media, there are pictures. Golf ball-sized hail, the real stuff. Took a picture of it, a picture of one of the hailstones, using a quarter for scale. It was a bit frightening, to say the very least. But let's run over to the old holler tree and see what's going on in there. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm fine. It's a 79-degree day, and I was watching the Harold bed pick up the hay bales a while ago. I can't see him now. He's still at it. He's on his third pasture, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like it might be a little windy out there today. A little breeze going.
Oh, that might be the fan I got running.
Ah, okay.
I got a USB fan running off the computer that's blowing on me.
Oh, okay, because it was kind of sounding a little high plainsy, a little North Dakota-ish, you know, where there's always a wind blowing.
Does
no biggie.
Anything?
Yeah, apparently you turned off the wind. My God, you are powerful. You know that? You can fold space and turn off the wind.
Speaking of wind, I got my notice in PG&E today to be prepared for power outages.
Oh, so you are going to be part of it.
No, they just sent a letter out to every customer everywhere in the state. You never know.
Right, sure. Are you going to take any kind of affirmative measures?
I don't know. I might go out and buy a generator. I don't know. Just in case. Because what's really bad is if they have to do it on a 110-degree day, they're going to kill people.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's why your governor said that frightened him.
So hopefully not. But the last 2 years, both events have been in the fall. Santa Rosa and Paradise both been in the fall, so that might be a sign. It's just we got to prepare for that in the fall of the year. Plus, I had a fire out back here, but it didn't get near any power lines.
Well, it was bizarre here last night, to say the very least. I mean, having grown up in tornado country, you know, I know not to fool with the damn things, but it's unusual to see that kind of stuff here. But the sky turned.
Hey, welcome to the club.
Yeah, welcome to climate change. And
we've been getting them for the last couple of years.
And you know, we used to have mountains here that would stop that kind of shit. That you know, when you cut them down and you take down all the trees, well, fuck you, right? So that's part of it. That's part of it too. But yeah, golf ball sized hail, wind that was going every direction at once. The rain was going in sheets in one direction, then it would turn around and come back the other way, and it would go another way altogether. And Frontier was having its usual hard time keeping its extremely expensive connections up. And then to top it all off, once everything crashed, then the notice came over the system that said, tornado warning in your area, seek shelter immediately. And, you don't play with that. So we got everybody and everything down into the basement, which is not a nice basement, I gotta say. It's where my gran used to keep all of her canned goods. And it's also where the wet sump is. We've got a moat down in the bottom of the house. And, we did learn, if this is going to be the future of climate change in Central Appalachia, we're going to have to get some folding lawn chairs or something down there. Because, you know, there really wasn't anything. And I noticed that there's a window, and that thing's going to have to come out, and it's going to have to be blocked in and mortared in. Yeah. But after a little while, I stepped outside, noticed that the fireflies had decided to be fireflies again. And the peepers, everything went quiet. And that's, you know, that's always a sign. When the wildlife says, fuck it, I'm not making a peep, take it seriously. And everything had gone quiet. It was as still as could be. And the lightning was, well, it was like a fireworks display. And you could hear roaring in the distance. And so, but I stepped outside and noticed that the fireflies had lit back up and the peepers had started peeping again and the bugs had started making bug noises. So then I felt pretty good about the fact that it was probably going to miss us. Got up this morning, it was a bunch of debris all over the place, debris out in the road. It was more exciting than I care for it to be. And we're looking at predicted thunderstorms through the remainder of the weekend.
Well, I'm done. I'm glad the, the atmospheric river of over with.
Yeah, the atmospheric Nile has finally passed you by. Well, maybe Tom's challenge last night had something to do with that, because remember, it was the please stop raining for heaven's sakes challenge.
Tim sure had fun with that at his niece's graduation. It poured on him.
Oh, no. Now, where did she graduate from?
Chico State.
Good deal. Good deal.
Same college my mom and my sister graduated from.
That's awesome.
But my mom and my sister both went into teaching. She's going to be an occupational therapist or something. Tim says she's going to a graduate year down in Southern California now.
Well, that's the nice thing about being out there where you are. There's jobs for people.
She's going to a college down in San Marino or somewhere down on the California coast, I think. Southern California area. Well, it's north of L.A.
Well, hey, let's move.
We had a good visit. He only hung out with me for about 4 hours.
Yeah, but it's really cool when members of the community get to meet each other.
And he was amazed at the man cave. And Grady wouldn't leave him alone. And he got to see a turkey vulture. He'd never seen a turkey vulture.
Yeah, I guess compared to L.A., you're kind of in a bit of a wilderness, huh?
To him, he goes, "Damn, you guys got a lot of trees up here." I think they're called orchards, Tim.
Oh, not just forests, but orchards. Okay, yeah, all right, okay.
Yeah, we're the land of nuts part.
Yeah. Apricots and pistachios. And do y'all do pistachios? I know you do almonds.
Yeah, they go pistachios. Where do you think I got those jalapeno pistachios from?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. God, those things were good. Do you ever go to that butcher shop anymore?
Yeah, but they don't sell those particular pistachios anymore.
Did they also
jalapeno pistachios?
Yes, John. Yes.
Boy, out of shit.
Yeah, they were. Damn. They were all that. Mm-hmm. John, the ghost pepper cheese.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now they still have that.
That stuff would peel paint. And burn ideas right out of your brain. Oh, it was hot and good. Made the best grilled cheese. Made the best grilled cheese on sourdough you ever had.
Oh, there you go. My youngest son thought he was going to be brave and eat one of those ghost peppers just raw. Just shoved the whole thing in his mouth and started chomping.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Yeah, it didn't go well. He learned real quick.
Well, I was thinking of you earlier. A long, long time ago, one of the Tejano members of the community heard me talking about eating canned tamales, and she was absolutely stricken. She was disgusted. She was offended. It was God damn, that's vulgar. And I explained, you know, well, if I wanted tamales, that's what you get. Well, I want you to know, John Brittavo, I was in Kroger's the other day, and son of a gun, over in the deli, they've got real tamales. So when I came,
are they in a clo-
they are not in a can.
No. Go ahead.
They're in a bag. They're wrapped.
I knew it. A cloth bag.
No, this is plastic, but you know it's West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
They're wrapped in corn shucks, and
oh, there you go.
And Agnes had some steamed and waiting for me when I got in the door. So that was my little snack before going on air. And I want to tell you, they're real respectable and good like.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Yes,
well,
sir. Tamales.
Lived in a place where the persons of the Hispanic persuasion live, you'd find those real easy, Bob.
Well, we do have them here, but they're busy. But they're busy running not very good Tex-Mex restaurants. You know,
there's no shortage of Mexican food restaurants down here.
Well, and we got a bunch of them up here, too, but they're all running menus. You know, what happens is the food service truck shows up, and they've got a pre-planned menu. And then and then they buy the stuff to make the stuff that's on the pre-planned menu. That's why, and okay. I mean, this is a story I told years and years ago. From West Virginia all the way to Alabama, there'd be these little Mexican restaurants, and they were all owned by different people, but they all had the same typographical error on the menu.
Right.
On the lunch menu, it was lunch menu item number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, number F, number 7, number 8, number 9. Whether it was West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, that F was on every menu, and that's when I figured out a little bit of what was going on.
There you go. They're run by the same people.
Well, it's a food service pre-planned menu. Yeah. And then somebody fronts the restaurant, and then a family runs the restaurant. You can find the same thing with the Chinese super buffets now.
You know what I like, Bob? Because down here, you sort of pick your Mexican food restaurant by what section of Mexico that food came from. You know, there's a Taqueria Guadalajara, and that's from the food that's basically around Guadalajara. Yeah, you have Tapatito, another section of Mexico. It just depends on what section. It's going to be different. It's right. All good, but it's a little bit different in each way.
Well, I remember a long time ago on his first TV program, Tony Bourdain went down to Oaxaca, and mm-hmm. they insisted on serving him, I kid you not, iguana tamales.
Iguana.
Yeah.
I haven't gone there.
And one of the early great lines I remember from him was, "Man, it was bad. This was awful. I want to pluck my eyeballs out, dip my head in a bucket of lye, and walk screaming off a cliff. It was bad."
And I missed that guy.
Yeah, oh, God, he was great. It was so much fun having him on this program a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's something.
Just
I'm impressed.
A nice,
I'm impressed,
nice
buddy.
Guy.
I bet he was.
And you know, it was just that colorful language, that imagery.
Yes, he could paint a picture.
And so I don't want no, I don't want no iguana tamales. And I remembered that '80s song. Remember Mexican radio? You remember that song?
Yes.
I wish I was in Tijuana, eating barbecued iguana. Mm-hmm. Not me, bub. Not me.
No. Ain't no telling what I ate though. I
tastes like chicken, though, doesn't it?
No, it did not taste like chicken. It tasted like according to Bourdain, it tasted like grim goddamn death, Billable Rick.
That's rattlesnake, right, Rick? Rattlesnake tastes just like chicken.
Okay, chicken right. The default.
Tastes like chicken.
Know? Right, and so
everything
does and
like
and so does gator. Leg. And so does gator tail.
Right,
gator tail. There you go.
Almost all other reptiles that aren't iguana taste like chicken.
Okay.
And the iguana tastes like shit.
that apparently it does. But no, I said earlier I don't know if you were into the conversation or yet, but. You have some simpatico going up here because I was late to the first hour of the program because I was picking the boy up from work, and we're a one vehicle family. And
I heard that.
Yeah, it doesn't leave you a whole lot of room for decision.
I heard you call out my name, and then I heard you say something about sliced jalapenos, and the slice that, you know, diced or jalapenos you was putting in something there.
Yeah, I'm doing a pork loin for the holiday
there
weekend.
I heard you say you had a second vehicle, Bob.
Well, there is one, but it ain't fixed.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with it?
It needs brakes all the way around, new brake line, new rotors, new calipers, new drums, all of that.
And that'll fix it?
Yeah.
Brilliant idea. Make Ferg pay for it to get fixed.
Well, see, that's kind of where I am. I mean, that light bulb went on over my head too. The problem is, I'm stuck with the commute until he gets a payday.
Or get him one of them.
Ain't that the shits? When you're broke down and you don't have the money to fix it, you got to do something.
Get him one of those Chilton manuals, one of those do-it-yourself. Remember they used to make those? I don't know if they still do or not.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah, they give you step-by-step instructions, you know.
Go to YouTube. They'll tell you how to fix anything.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true, Duncan.
Meanwhile, Tim
was amazed. I was fixing my lawnmower when he was here the other day.
Well, meanwhile, the brain trust in the chat room just declared, just drive without brakes, Bob. Thanks, Otto.
Yeah.
Thanks a bunch.
You know, just be careful where you aim it. That's all.
Just stop Fred Flintstone style, you know.
Yeah, stick them feet out.
Just look for a soft landing spot if you need to, Bob. You know, like those runaway, the ramps, runaway
Chuck
trucks and stuff, you know.
Two words.
Yep.
Two words. Throw an engine braking.
Yeah. Is that when the engine falls out and it uses as a brake?
Well, that's when you gear down and you hear an awful noise and you look in the rearview mirror and your transmission's laying about 100 yards back up the road.
Yeah, oh, shit. Yeah. That'll
stop you. Hey, Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Brother John, what's shaking, man?
Same old shit, different day, buddy.
Yeah,
Continuing the battle for freedom, buddy. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, good to hear from Bob's doing. Thanks for checking in, man. We really appreciate it.
I like being here, buddy.
Yeah, we like to
have
you here.
Where else would we be, right? The Horn family.
I missed you the last couple of Fridays, and we begin to fret.
I was preoccupied last Friday. Kind of went off on the deep end on a rant, and I shouldn't have. I was disappointed in myself.
Well, I saw you beating yourself up on Facebook, and that's why I left the message I did. You know, the fact of the matter is, if you do this long enough, you will eventually regret something you say.
Yeah.
Way back when I first started doing this, I would air check myself every night. I would listen to all 3 hours of the program. And after a while, you know, of sitting in the corner huddled up into a fetal ball with my thumb in my mouth, I realized that, if this was going to last, I had to stop tormenting myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I did. I was upset with myself for responding in a certain way, and I shouldn't have, not regretting anything I said. I just shouldn't have said it just because I should have put myself above that, but I didn't.
Well, it happens.
That shit happens, but you're right, baby. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Hey,
I've been here a long time.
I'm just a guest, Uncle John, and I regret things that I say, and I'm only here for, playing around every Friday,
They came back and bit me on the ass the other day, Bob, because the other day, I can't remember what the hell day it was now. Maybe it was Wednesday, I guess. You just said you do a video or rant or whatever that you do. You record something and you get so used to, okay, that's sounding pretty good. Just go ahead and upload it. Well, that's what I did. And there was 20 minutes of me yakking my mouth and not a sound through the system, baby. Nothing.
And most
I didn't check. Uploaded it.
Isn't that just beautiful? Fine. Don't you just feel so good about yourself when you do that?
Oh, God.
I got 1,300 views on it. I thought, oh, are you shitting me? That's everybody checking in before they went, oh, crap. Yeah.
Hey, John Bertivo's doing silent film.
Man. Like having a 4-hour spreadsheet and then forgetting to hit save or, having the power go out that you've been working on for 4 hours. It's just gone.
Oh, last night it was so screwed up with the internet here, and I was trying to keep, Skype connections going and everything, and just trying to keep the stream going. I was unplugging and replugging routers because there's three of them sitting here. I felt like an old telephone operator pulling those quarter-inch plugs out of one and sticking it in the other.
It was the party to which you have been connected.
That'll be 10 cents, sir, for the next 3 minutes.
Were you doing a Lily Tomlin imitation?
It wasn't a full-on imitation, Sparky. I was thinking of her.
Well, you managed to keep the show on the air for like 2 hours and 35 minutes, so I commend you for that, Bob.
Yeah, hell, I heard the hail bouncing off his house. I really can. That's brave, man. I'd have bailed long time for that.
I saw your post about the tornado warning.
Oh, I shot a little bit of video. No, it was a warning. It was a warning. It was the real deal.
Yeah, I seen that. You had a hail ball bigger than a quarter. I seen that.
Oh, shit.
It was the size of a golf ball.
Did it damage your car, Bob, or not? Did you have dents in your car?
Oh, yeah, I got some new dingers.
From the hail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the glass made it okay, but I could hear it just ting, 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 ting. Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. Bob, if you
take a hurricane over a tornado any day.
If you got comp on that car, it'll cover it, Bob. You can get it pulled out.
Yeah, but it won't come in. It won't come in over the deductible, so it's not worth reporting.
Yeah. Okay.
If it had taken out any of the glass, I've got no deductible on the glass, so. God damn stink bugs. It's that time of year. Uh-oh. I hate those bastards.
Did he fart?
No, I didn't scare it, so I try to flick them away before they can get scared. Oh, but Jesus.
Don't scare them, they'll fart.
Oh, they're nasty. Huh. They're just nasty.
They fart?
Yeah,
that's their
that's their defense mechanism, and it is, it's not like skunk stink, but it's
nasty.
It's just ugh.
It's not something you want to dip behind your ear right before a date.
No. But nothing beats that that tree frog that ate the lightning bug I saw the other night on social media. Little guy was just down inside the frog going beep, 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 still lighting up.
Last act of defiance, buddy.
Yeah. I'm here.
I'm here, you asshole. You're
kind of, it feels like that out here in the real world a little bit too. Hey, some thanks going out. Thanks to Kitty. Thank you very kindly, Kitty, and thanks very much to Libby. We are 60 bucks away from meeting Chris's challenge, and that will take. And if Chris's challenge gets met, that'll take us down to 245. So that would be awesome to do.
That's doable. That's doable tonight.
Yeah, that is. I mean, that's not the usual $900 terrifying Friday on the front porch community made miracle. Let's keep bouncing
around.
The Horn
family step right up and fill that basket right up.
I hope so. Wouldn't that be awesome if it had happened in the next 30 minutes or so?
Let's do that, family. Let's do that. Jump in there and let's meet that challenge and get Bob over this hump. Got enough to worry about with tornadoes and hail. Shit, you know.
Yeah. Down in the basement, I was actually doing some rather significant worrying last night.
I bet you were.
Because, you know, even the tent was in the car, and if the house and the car go, well, the tent goes with it. So then we just kind of stand around.
Out there scrambling through the salvage trying to find pieces of plywood. I can make a wall out of this. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. I really don't want any more of those. No. And that's part of the reason for being here is not having to deal with that shit. But now we have to deal with that shit.
Oh, we got shit every week, Bob. We got shit today, shit yesterday. I guarantee you there's going to be shit next week, buddy. I know there is, but we got shit today.
And it's as time passes, it's only going to get a lot more interesting.
Well, I'm a little pissed off at that guy from Texas there, Chip Roy. What is that? Buffalo Chip, Chip, whatever his name is.
Yeah, from what is it? Syphilis Springs, Texas.
Yeah,
was it?
Yeah, syphilis. He's got it of the brain. I think Donnie got his ass. I think not particularly his ass. He just put the word out. He wanted somebody to stop that bill. Because he just, you know, had his presidential penny waste tantrum out in the Rose Garden, where he said he wasn't going to do anything anymore with the Democrats, and lo and behold, the next day, or 2 days later, we get Chip Roy to come in and say we shouldn't be spending money we don't have, and besides that, there's no money in it for the border in a disaster relief bill.
I
think old Chip needs to pull his head out of his ass.
Man, was he snipping up the Adderall the other day?
Who, old Donnie?
Yeah, and that Rose Garden thing, sniffing.
Oh, he was down. He was having himself just a hissy fit from hell.
Yeah. Well, he had one today, too.
On the airplane?
He's having a fit a day at this point. Let me see here. I think I've got the audio handy.
Quite that shit, Bob. Let's see what kind of.
Well, I don't have the audio, but. Let's see. The Mueller investigation was an attempted coup. Of course, yesterday he called for people to be killed. I didn't touch on it this week, but he said he wanted to, it's been rumored that he's going to start pardoning war criminals. And today he said, some of these soldiers are people who fought hard, long. We teach them to be great fighters, and sometimes when they fight, you know, they get treated very unfairly.
Unfairly?
Yeah.
When your fellow soldiers turn your ass in?
Right.
That's got to be pretty bad, baby.
Yeah, that one Navy SEAL, his name? Yeah, the murdered people in cold blood would just take
his team turned him in.
Take it and take good his on service them. Weapon and just shoot into neighborhoods for the fuck of it. Mm. Yeah, because that's so
I'm
good
I'm glad
for
they stood up and turned them in for that shit. That speaks well of them. Speaks highly of them.
Yeah, it means
and,
that...
And Donnie should not be stepping in and doing this shit.
No.
Because it degrades the people that stood up and turned him in. Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Scott.
I'm a little late to the proceedings today, but I'm glad you made it back.
Well, so was I, so that's okay.
With your little ding-mobile. That noise you were making of the hail, imitating the hail striking the hoods. And in certain provinces in China, That's how they determine names for babies.
Oh, no, 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 come on, come on, come on. No, no, no. No racist, no racist humor, please.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Listen, point of order. You were talking about doing your imitation of Lily Tomlin last night. As an old telephone company guy, the official name of that type of equipment is a cord board.
Cord board.
Yeah. And I never had the pleasure of using one, but when I first started as a 411 operator in the late 70s, I worked with some lady operators who had been around since Alexander Graham Bell was a teenager. And they used to tell horror stories of working the cord board, and the supervisors used to go up and down the row on roller skates to make sure that you were collecting the proper fee for long distance calls and all that happy crappy. So
regular old roller derby.
When I left in the mid 80s, they were talking about combining the 411 operator job with the TSPS job, which is known as the official name of the zero operator. Because some operators will look up numbers for you, and some operators will connect calls for you, where they were going to combine the jobs. And Lord knows, it's probably all automated by now. But yes, it was fun working for Ma Bell.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And I'll never forget working in November of 79 on the late night shift, like 6 p.m. to 3 a.m., something like that. And or maybe it was the overnight, 10 to 6. I think it was the overnight. And they took the hostages in Iran. And every other call was either for the State Department, the White House, or the Larry King Show. And the people out in America, the people either wanted to talk to the president, who I guess was Carter at that time, or they wanted to talk to the Capitol, or they wanted to talk to the State Department, or Larry. They figured Larry King had the answers on mutual radio.
Jeez.
Bidoop. The Bidoop network. Now, anybody who doesn't get Bidoop hasn't been on the planet long enough, or wasn't listening to the great mutual broadcasting system.
Bidoop.
Your network for news and sports.
Bidoop.
There you go.
Okay, somewhere, you're old.
Somewhere around here, I've got an air check of, what was that guy's name?
Well, I forget.
Somebody
was being honored on a panel discussion years and years back, and Don Imus was apparently half in the bag.
What else is new?
And while the guy was speaking, about every 15 seconds, he'd go, beep, beep. Let's see. Let's keep it rolling around the room. How about Tracy? Hey, Tracy.
So Teresa May said, okay, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, and promptly got roasted by The Guardian as the worst prime minister of the 20th century. No, in fact, the worst prime minister since Lord North, who lost the colonies, namely us.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, it burnt her to the ground.
Yeah, she was...
Did they forget about Margaret Thatcher? Good Christ.
Oh, she was terrible.
She didn't.
But
she
was
terrible.
She had to mention it that she was the second female prime minister.
And yeah, that's going to play well with other women going, really, bitch, don't put us in that category. Don't. Don't go there. Don't say that you're a woman. We don't want you.
Well, Margaret Thatcher was good friends with Ronald Reagan, so that's an indication that how bad she was.
Yep.
Are you worried?
So how's everybody's Friday? So well, it's almost over for everybody.
Yours is exhausted.
I today was one of these. My cab was in the shop.
Oh yeah. So is that the same thing you were telling me about?
Yeah, so I finally got it back yesterday. So they went ahead and put in a new motor. And then I had to pick it up yesterday. Didn't have to go out to Gardena today to drive to, so they could check the transmission. Because, of course, the guy that does the engine doesn't do transmissions. So I had to go out there and then had to go out to back in Gardena to...
Wait, how do you go from there's nothing wrong with it to you need a new engine?
Dude, I don't know. I mean, it's like they didn't know. It was just one of these things where nobody really knew. And then they kept doing stuff, you know, putting in... First it was the motor mount, then it was a coil, and then it was this, and then it was that. And then they finally like, fuck it, you need a new motor. I'm like, okay, great. So,
what kind of car do you have, Tracy?
It's my taxi. It's a Dodge Caravan Grand. I don't know.
It's Grand Caravan. Yeah.
So, what does a new motor cost?
A better motor car.
You know what? I don't know because I didn't have to pay for it.
That's nice.
So I don't care. I mean, I care. That's terrible for me to say, but
so this was under warranty.
No, I don't own the vehicle. I lease it. So the person that owns the vehicle, they had to pay for the motor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, not for him, but the thing is, I haven't worked since last Wednesday. So, that's the only thing. I mean, because there's no such thing as, you know, since I'm self-employed, there's no PTO. There's no, you know, okay, yeah, I'll use this week for vacation time or whatever the case may be. So if my ass is not sitting in that car, I am not making any money. So, but that's why you always set aside, you know, money just in case of times like this. So, you know, it's, you know, I'm fine. It's just, I was going to go to the movies. I was going to go either see, and don't laugh, I was going to go see John Wick 3, or I was going to go see the live-action Aladdin. I know. But
quite the contrast between those two, Tracy.
I know. And there's another movie.
It's a woman with a wide variety of tastes, right?
Yeah. I was going to, I mean, because there's another movie. Whoever's snickering, stop that.
That's me. Sorry.
You know.
Wait a minute.
There's another movie out. What?
Tiny little jingle.
Yeah, stop telling that. Us how to snicker, Tracy.
Really?
Oh, shit. The virus is spreading now. It's taking in other members of the community, not just me.
It's terrible. No, there's another movie that I really want to see. It's called Booksmart. Have you seen, anybody seen scenes from this? About these two girls, they're graduating from high school, and you know they're really smart, and they decide on the last day of school to finally cut loose, and it looks hilarious. I think it got like a 90 or maybe even 100 on the Rotten Tomato meter.
No, so, yeah, it got good reviews. I noticed the blurb for an IMDb. Yeah, it's like 7.2.
Yeah,
they used to call that senior cut day.
Right, but it's like, you know, I might be going to the movies this weekend because, you know, I don't have nothing else to do, really. Oh, but on Sunday, yes. Now, there's a restaurant. Now, I don't really know how to pronounce it. It's a tequila bar, Mexican restaurant. That's a tequila bar, and they have all-you-can-eat brunch is $25, but for an additional $16, you can get unlimited either mimosas, margaritas, beer, or what is it, micheladas? You know, that thing, the drinks that they make with some, you know, kind of, I guess it's kind of like a Bloody Mary, but instead of vodka, you use beer?
Yeah, beer, tomato juice, lime, a little bit of chili pepper, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's all you can, so yeah. So you know what I'm going to be doing.
Hell yeah.
I mean, come on, $16 for all you can drink. I could just do that and not even have the damn buffet. Okay, the snickering.
I'll be
there. Hey, by the way, thanks, Steve, for jumping in. That we got $45 to go to meet Chris's challenge. Thank you. I just wanted to get that in there. Thank you, Steve, very kindly.
How's the fundraising going, Bob?
You know, we started out this evening 4:45. We got $45 to go. Chris put a challenge on the table of $100. There's $45 to go to finish that. And well, I just lost the battle with the stink bug.
Oh,
jeez.
You lost what?
The battle with the stink bug. Little fucker landed in my hair, and I, and that was enough to scare it. Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
That would be dinner in the central time zone that just got ruined. Yes.
Wait, what is stink bugs? What's a stink? Okay, seriously, do they really stink?
Yes, they really do. They snuck into the country. They snuck into the country. Oh, I think back in the 90s, they're Asian stink bugs. And they're kin to another bug that doesn't stink, but holy shit.
I'll bet you a squadron of tree frogs dispatched in the Horn studio would take care of that, plus any spray.
Yeah, but then I'd have to scream over the ribbiting.
Oh, that's always like, something.
Cats like bugs. They'll swat them. You know, you just bring your kitten down to the shop.
Yeah, and then it lets out the stink.
Well, the cat can deal with it.
No, because it kind of diffuses. Let's put it that way.
That just sounds like some country ass shit. I'm sorry.
It is. And
do you have spit bugs?
Wait, hold up, back up. Spit bugs?
Yeah, Oregon, we have spit bugs. I noticed them, and what they do is they regurgitate some kind of froth.
Oh, now okay, we've gone pro on ruining dinner in the Central Time Zone.
Sorry, I just noticed.
Hey, Hawaii, hey. Never mind dinner, yeah. Hawaii. Aloha,
let's talk about the defecation bug.
Hey, come on, folks. Some people eat insects as a meal, okay? So, you know.
Well, then there's the Dick Handler bug. But
we're getting in there now.
Yeah. Hey, by the way.
I'm sorry. No. Todd is testing me and says, I hate it when I get called a snicker.
A snicker.
And I mean,
wait a minute.
Think of what it sounds like.
Yeah, it took me a minute. Yeah. Yeah, and hey, I got a cowbell for Kitty in Boston too.
What do you guys think about that?
Wait! Got a cowbell.
Yeah, I got a cowbell for Kitty in Boston. Going back to John and your hour and 20 minutes of silence.
Oh yeah, that's me.
Yeah, Kitty says maybe John can change his YouTube handle to Blue Mime in Texas.
Blue Mime. No sound. We're just going to sit there and give the pantomime.
Oh, wait, it rhymes. Yeah. Wait a minute. Britovo Marceau.
That's it, baby. We got a thunder. I'll start that. Tune in. Listen to him say nothing.
Yeah.
Thank you for pointing that out. She deserves a cowbell.
That's what that was for.
Hey, speaking of Marceau.
Speaking of Marceau, my
girlfriend is related to the famous Marcel Marceau. Like a second uncle or second cousin or whatever, one of those deals.
Oh, wow. Runs in the family. I want to give a shout out, though, Bob, if I can, to somebody who's here with you tonight.
Oh, do please.
And that is Dennis Valadez was on my show last night. We have our live on Tuesdays and Thursday, Blue Dot Family Meeting. And Dennis introduced a guest that was just a hit right off the bat. Her name was Destiny. Destiny Valadez, that's Dennis's daughter. She is 17 years old.
Oh, cool.
She not only came on the show with engaging, she came on the show with facts. In her realm, she had put out a poll. You know, they put out a poll on Instagram or something, and all your friends take the poll. But she was asking about questions about pro-life, or are you pro-life or pro-choice, the death penalty. I mean, these are issues that she was asking her friends to weigh in on. And then she gave those results last night. And I want to give a shout out to Dennis. He's done a fine job of raising a very intelligent daughter. And we just enjoyed her last night. She's going to turn 18 by the time the next election comes on. And she's eager to vote.
She's ready to go. So
she's ready to go. And I'm telling you, I was just not only impressed, but just it lifted me up, you know, when I... Because we see young people getting involved. We saw it a lot after Parkland shootings and stuff, but these younger people are staying involved and staying informed. So yes,
Dennis is cool. So I'm not a bit surprised.
Yeah, I see him right up here. He's with us tonight.
Yeah, good job, Dennis. Good job.
I'm here. All of my kids are actually invested in that. We'd have talks about it. They'll come ask me questions, and I'll be like, I'm honest with them to the point where I think they can handle and understand information. If that makes sense.
Excellent job last night.
But all the kids, all three of them are engaged in that kind of helping others and do right by others attitude.
Outstanding.
It's the only future that we have.
It is. And she's part of it, and I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to have that, not only just on my show, but just anywhere where you have a young voice like that is really speaking out and engaging. I'm sure she doesn't make it the pinnacle of her life, but.
And yeah. John, I want to second what you're saying about some of the younger people in the country.
Right.
For the last couple of weeks, every now and again, I mention this series of videos that I've been watching on YouTube, classroom sessions twice a week conducted by a guy named Daniel Sheehan.
Right.
And occasionally he'll break in the lecture to take questions from his students. And I guess there's maybe 20 or 30 kids. You never see the kids, but they're college age kids in the classroom. And some of the questions that these kids have stemming from the material that he's presenting just blow me away. I mean, the depth and level of thinking that he's giving in the lectures and that these kids are making part of their questions really gives me a little bit of hope for some aspect of the future. Because yeah. if that number of kids is representative of a lot of the movers and shakers of the future, we're probably in better shape than we know.
Right.
And it's
yes, Sparky.
Just hats off to them.
You bet.
Have you ever heard anything from Cassie?
Not in the longest time. Not in the longest time, Sparky.
I just wondered if she finished law school.
Well,
she was part of the Horn. Bob can tell the story. She was a young person that was part of the Horn.
Yeah. Anytime we can get the opportunity to allow a younger voice to come on, you know, as old farts, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, they can only put up with so much bullshit.
It's part of trying to avoid some of the problems we already have, because a lot of the failings we have right now are failings that are born of the failure to transmit intergenerational wisdom.
Yes, yes.
And that doesn't mean young people have to sit down and shut up. It means that we have to talk to each other.
Yeah.
But by the way, just by way of detail, that's the human being who that Sparky just mentioned. That's the human being who was offended, horrified, and shocked that they even put tamales in cans.
No, oh, is it? There yes. you go. Well, yeah. It is almost sacrilegious. I mean, come on.
Well,
I mean,
I'm sure no self-respecting Texan would. I mean,
well, no, I don't have to drive far, Bob. All I have to do is drive down the highway. I guarantee there's somebody sitting on the side of the road with a tamale sign on their.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
there.
Like being in South Carolina or Georgia or Alabama. Yeah. Just go down a back road somewhere, and somebody got a big kettle full of piping hot boiled peanuts
Somebody's
waiting on
gonna
you.
Somebody's going to feed you, baby.
Yeah.
And it's going to be good food, too, baby. It's going to be good food.
Well, I wanted to bring up an issue. You brought up Marcel earlier, but est-ce qu'il y a quelqu'un ici qui avait attendu de ce phénomène qui s'appelle le pétoman? There's a guy by the name of Le Pétoman who lived in France, and he was known for his wonderful abdominal muscles, and he could fart.
Oh, just like me.
Well, he could fart at will.
Oh, and his stage name
combines the French word pété, to fart, with the man, maniac, so it's Pétoman. But he could fart, and he could blow candles out, and it was a big act in Paris for a while. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. So
there
the
goes
first...
the mountain time zone.
Wait a minute.
Don't sell him short. Don't sell him short. This guy could fart in tune with an orchestral accompaniment. They could fill a washtub full of water. He could sit in the water and drain it through his butt, apparently. And then, I swear to you, look it up. And then,
I am looking it up.
What the hell do you have against Kevin in Colorado Springs and Lady B enjoying a halfway decent dinner this evening? I mean, yeah, there goes the Mountain Time Zone.
You obviously never went to one of his dinner shows at the supper club in Paris.
Fine aroma.
Sphincter control is what it was.
Oh, okay, yeah. I wasn't looking to be the only radio program in America that had the words that included the word sphincter this evening. But there you have it, and there we are. Hey,
what a highbrow conversation we're having here, huh?
Hey,
I don't think it's got anything to do with brows, Rick. But
only difference between stink bugs and the guy in Paris 150 years ago is the size of the sphincter. Now, come on. You brought up stink bugs.
That's right.
Well,
you brought it up, and I thought...
Hey, guys, do we have a shiny, hiney update or not?
Oh, shut up.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
No, but I do have this. The goddess
Somebody
of irony...
pulled the plunger.
The goddess of irony has been at work. Agnes just provided me with this. This is delightful. I mean, there's no joy in the damage that comes from flooding. Well, wait, there is.
Oh, yeah.
Dateline Williamstown, Kentucky.
What happened?
This is too good.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah. Williamstown, Kentucky is the home of Ken Ham of Australia's, and we really, really, really wish we could get you guys to take him back. Ark Park, that the taxpayers...
Ark Park. Oh, that guy.
Creationist Museum.
Right. No, not the Creationist Museum. This is the Ark Park. The citizens of the Commonwealth of Kentucky have propped up with their tax dollars.
Yes.
Thank you, Matt Bevin. Well, the Ark Encounter Park has filed a federal lawsuit.
I thought you were going to tell me it sunk.
No, it's better than that. Remember, the Ark Encounter is a 510-foot-long replica, not really, because the whole ark is imaginary, a 510-foot-long ark that's been hemorrhaging money since 2016. And the Ark Encounter Park is suing its insurance company in federal court. Allied World Assurance Company Holdings of Switzerland and three other insurance carriers.
Yeah.
Because the ark got flooded.
It flooded the ark. Wait a minute. Back up the boat.
Stop.
Are
it.
You shitting me? Ain't it supposed to be the other way around? Damn.
Yeah, the ark got flooded.
The ark
did
flooded.
They give them the bad news. They don't cover floods.
Yeah, you'll have to take up with the. You'll have to take that up with the guy who told you to build a fucking ark park.
Did they get the animals out, Bob?
How many animals
died?
Does the story say that or not?
Well, you know, it's not a matter of getting the animals out so much as replacing them, since they were all paper mache in the first place.
They killed the animals.
Can you imagine calling in your claim on that? Talking to the guy in Switzerland. They're not German. We are Swiss.
Well, can you imagine the delight of cleaning up because remember, their ark has fucking dinosaurs on it. Can you imagine how much paper mache goes into a goddamn brontosaur?
Hey, don't tell us where to put our dinosaurs, Bob.
Where are the Mennonites when you need them?
Cowbell for that.
Yeah.
They saved me.
Yeah, but I think they're too decent to go down and help Ken Ham. I don't
never forget the day that guy come walking up the driveway with a bucket after the flood and said, "Is there anything we can do for you?" I said, "Who are you?" He said, "Well, I'm with the Mennonites. We help out after floods." And I said, "You could rip out my carpeting for me?" And he says, "I'll have the crew here Saturday."
And I bet they should.
Cool. They had the carpeting ripped out within a matter of hours. Yeah.
Huh.
Now, there's a denomination I can get behind who actually are not so heavenly-minded that they're not doing earthly good.
Yeah, you're behind them until you want to turn a light on.
Yeah. We don't do that shit.
That notwithstanding.
Or shave.
They make great cheese. The Mennonites in Ohio did.
Oh, that they do.
Oh, God. Curds, cheese. Oh, every type of cheese you could want.
And furniture as well. They're very good craftsmen.
Oh, yeah. Now, some of them make wine, I think, for, of course, sacramental purposes, but...
Now, are they originally German, the Mennonites?
Yeah, the Mennonites are what happened after things went horribly, horribly wrong with the earliest version of the Anabaptists.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Which leads me, you know, I don't do TV viewing tips. I leave that to the rest of y'all. But I have started watching Catch 22.
Yeah, I watched three shows.
And
is that any good, Bob?
Yeah. It really is.
Is that based on the film, Bob?
No, it's based on the book, Scott.
Well, okay, all right.
Joseph Heller wrote the book.
Yeah, oh, I know.
No, it's based.
Check that out.
It is. It's wonderful, and the chaplain and I was the chaplain in there is a character called A.T. Tapman, chaplain, and he. Periodically, when someone will call him father, he says, "Oh, you don't have to call me father. I'm only an Anabaptist."
Huh.
Only an Anabaptist. Yeah.
What is that on Netflix or
Hulu?
Prime?
Hulu.
Well, I won't get to see it then.
Well, you'll get to see it when it comes to Netflix.
Well, okay. I got a recommendation.
You can pirate it if you knew what you were doing.
True
enough. On Netflix, Wanda Sykes' new stand-up. It's called Not Normal. It's hilarious. For the first 40 minutes, she goons on Orange, man, and it's gut-splitting hilarious, man.
Yeah, she goes, Nicole Sandler played a clip today. It was pretty funny.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. And if you want to get a little more introspective, there's one called Imagine that does like a documentary on John Lennon on how he made the Imagine album and how he split from the Beatles and how Yoko wasn't really as weird as everybody thinks she was. You know, it's pretty cool. It's good to watch.
Has anybody watched Backdraft 2?
No.
No, I haven't heard of it.
Is that any good?
It's on Netflix. Well, the only thing I know, I mean, I watched it, but the guy that plays the lead role in it was on The Outsider.
Well, Tarantino's got another film coming out July, and it looks really cool. They're all talking this is going to be the next big film past, or like Pulp Fiction. I don't know if you watched Pulp Fiction, but that was a gruesome film, but it was it was really funny, though.
I've seen it probably over 50 times, man.
Oh, yeah, it's a good movie. That and The Hateful Eight is another one I like, or Django Unchained.
There's one before that, Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, I didn't like that so much. It just drags. It drags.
Not for the faint of heart, but I liked it. Go ahead, Trish.
Quentin Tarantino movies are okay, but he drops the N-bomb way too much in his movies.
Denzel Washington confronted him on that after Pulp Fiction. He got into his face at a party and said,
"Oh, really?
The N-word." Yeah, he got really angry.
It makes me uncomfortable, especially in the Bonnie situation. It's a segment off Pulp Fiction. I mean, he's dropping it himself, you know.
Right.
It makes me uncomfortable. He hasn't earned the right to say that, nor will he ever.
Well, and I mean, that's the thing. If people are going to run around either rewriting or banning Mark Twain for the appearance of that word in Huck Finn, which is actually, from a cultural standpoint, and especially the way that Twain writes it, you can at least make a qualified case for it. If we're gonna delete that from Twain, I don't think there's anybody in Hollywood who much has any call using that word. Or have I got that wrong?
Tracy,
this is your job.
Sorry, I had to. We had to confirm dinner plans because I'm like, am I cooking? Am I? Am I going to the store? Are we ordering in?
Do Chinese. I look like I'm cooking?
But no, I mean you said Quentin Tarantino uses that word too much, and there's general consensus that it's true.
Terrible.
But if we're gonna edit it out of Mark Twain or ban Huckleberry Finn for it, when he's actually writing sympathetically about the Jim character, then nobody in Hollywood needs to be using it.
Well, the other day,
I was asking Tracy a question. Unless are we still making dinner plans?
I think so.
Well, let's hold on. Well, a minute. Let's hold on a second. Because anymore, half the time, I don't know if I've just lost the connection or, you know.
I think she's working out dinner, Bob.
No.
Yeah, so it's now Thai food.
Well, hey, that's not a bad idea. I had the lovely woman who does the Thai buffet about 5 miles from me made Thai green curry pork yesterday.
Ooh.
Oh, it was so good. And she even gifted me with an extra little container to bring home for later. We're friends.
It's amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
Before I forget.
Yeah. No, so what
you're still saying Sabadi to her every time you see her?
Sabadi cup, absolutely. And she always smiles because I'm probably saying it like a hillbilly would. But I'm making the effort.
But you are, Bob. You are.
I am, indeed. we'll just move on past the Tarantino thing. But you just sent me this clip, Tracy.
Isn't that great? Isn't that clip great?
Of the person interviewing, I guess, persons on the street about the Theresa May.
Mm-hmm. Her Brexit.
Mexit. This guy, just talk about getting burnt to the ground. Here we go. This is good.
Oh, and you say you don't have much sympathy for her?
I've got less than no sympathy for her. She didn't publicly break down over the victims of Windrush, who, because of her policies, were driven from their homes, denied medical care, and even kicked out of the country. She didn't cry publicly over the dozens of working-class people who burned to death in Grenfell Tower. She didn't weep publicly over those who've had their benefits stripped from them, those driven to food banks because of her policies, the victims of universal credit. I think, you know, our media can often express far more sympathy for the powerful. In her case, she will lead, no doubt, a comfortable and affluent life to her very end, rather than the victims of their policies, who, I'm afraid, have been driven into misery, insecurity and turmoil as a direct result. Let's think about those people.
You can't just respond at a human level.
I have responded on a human level. I've spoken about the humanity of those who have suffered as a consequence of her policies, and I wish the news would give far more space to them rather than spending time discussing the Prime Minister crying because she can no longer hold the most powerful job in the country.
Damn.
And burn.
There you go.
Yeah, not much left to her after that.
Mm-mm. No.
No. Mm-mm. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, ooh, I gotta send that to Bob, because
it's all true, and the idea that she got out there and cried those big crocodile tears, and of course there's a certain amount of irony involved as well, because her resignation will become effective a couple of days after Julius Geezer leaves Mary Oldie Engeland.
Well, we got it no different over here, Bob.
What?
Yeah, but he's not resigning.
Yeah, that's the only thing. We're working on it, though.
I'm still I don't think he will. But I'm still saying that there's a decent. I've still got a $5 bill out there that says that before he's done being president, he tears his clothes off in public and starts ranting and raving like the madman that he is.
Speaking Do you think the Republicans would turn on him then?
No.
Nope.
Speaking of ranting and raving, did he have another temper tantrum with Nancy Pelosi the other day?
Today. He went after her again today.
What was this about? They had a meeting and he got pissy and just said, "I'm out," and walked out.
Yeah, that was all pre-planned.
It was all planned. Yeah. He had that poster all set up on his podium outside the Rose Garden.
He went outside, got his panties all wiped up, and then just a little tantrum, and he's not going to play ball anymore, and all that kind
of. And him and Giuliani tweeted a video of Nancy, and they slowed it down where she sounded drunk and everything.
Here, let me quote, by the way,
Facebook refuses to take that down.
Ain't that sad?
Yeah, neither will Twitter.
Let me quote Giuliani. His work.
YouTube did. It's a vis apology.
That's his IVESSSAPOLOGY. That's the way he spelled it. I'm telling you, you get around Donnie in ignorance, just he won't. Next thing you know, Rudy won't even be able to know how to spell hamburger. It rubs off. Rudy will be a hamburger if you hang around Donnie long enough.
I think everybody in the White House is now required to spell it hamburger.
Kind of like no smoking in the bunker
back in Berlin in 1945.
Well, he's going to Japan right now, so he's probably going to embarrass the shit out of us over there. He ain't never been to Japan.
Well, how much worse can it be? George H.W. Bush puked all over the prime minister, so, you know.
He's real fine, lean warmer, GW.
You know, when a U.S. serviceman goes to a foreign country, they always give him a guidebook of customs and things not to do in the country you're visiting, customs and all that shit. This guy has no clue what he's going to witness in Japan. John, did you ever go to Japan?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I was stationed in Misawa, Japan for a while. Yeah.
You remember, totally different experience, baby. You remember those little information pamphlets they give us, customs and
Yeah. I got to admit, I didn't read it. I was looking for the one that said, "Where's the bar?" That's the list I was looking for at the time. But no, Misawa, Japan was my first stop in a foreign country after I left Adak, Alaska. Birthplace of the winds, baby, freeze your ass off. And we landed in Misawa, and I was there for a while. And man, it was a really eye-opening experience because Misawa at that time was a very small town. It's not a big city or anything, and so traditions were old. And man, talk about a humbling experience when you're someplace where your language is, everybody's looking at you funny. You know, it's a way to communicate, baby.
Yeah, you know, when you go somewhere and you're the illiterate one.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what all these cans and all these bottles say on them. I think that's orange juice because it's orange. I don't know. It could be squid juice. You know.
Mmm, squid. Let's see. I think that squid juice just rolled around about the appetizer course in Dinner in the Mountain Time Zone.
Yeah, there you go.
Well played, John Bridevo. Well played.
What does that taste like, honey? Oh, just wait. I'll press one out for you. You know.
Oh, sound effects. Wait.
Yeah, sound effects. I got a cowbell. All right. Thank you, Bob.
No, you're more than welcome.
There you go.
That's a well-tuned.
That sounds like the dinner bell for the Mountain Time Zone.
That's the well-tuned cowbell.
That's a stink bug.
I thought there was two of them.
Swiss cowbell.
That's a Swiss cowbell?
Yeah.
It's got holes in it or what?
Got all this stuff from Switzerland on it.
It sounds like a town crier alert to me, man.
My cousin, when she was in high school, she was a foreign exchange student to Switzerland. She sent my mom that bell.
Well, it's got a lovely tone to it. I'm sure that the cattle that wear them must be much happier.
Happier than our cows, I imagine.
But I like the vibe of this ancient one you sent along, Sparky. That, you know, it just feels good in the hand and it clanks. You know, that's a cowbell for a cow with an attitude.
There you go. Move my ass. Listen to this. Ding, 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 ding.
And by the way, we've still got $45 to go on Chris's challenge, and after that, $245. to finish the week. Sorry to keep mentioning it, but that's who. That's
it has to be done, Bob. And let me step in because it's not my show, but I just want people to know. And I say this all the time, every time I come on here, this what Bob does is important. The stories you listen to, we all get a good chuckle, but the work that Bob does to keep the message going and keep people informed is worth a few bucks. I guarantee you, your money goes a long way in keeping Bob on the air, and it's important. So if you can, reach down, get a little bit, shove it in Bob's pocket, and we'll all be happy.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I try to figure out a way to make people realize how little it is we're trying to get by on, because I found out, you know, one of those ribby little hash brown patties at McDonald's is a buck.
Mm.
If you cut off 60% of it, the 40% that's left is what it costs on a $10 a month subscription per show, per program.
There you go. That's pretty damn cheap. You can't get cheaper than that for the fine entertainment you get here. Not only information, but where else are you going to find out about stink bugs, shiny hiney, somebody's cracking, all that stuff? You're not. You're going to find it right here, down here in the show.
There aren't many radio programs you can tune into and hear the word sphincter.
No. And how many will have a full discussion on shiny hiney? Just how shiny is your hiney?
Don't
but
ask.
It's well worth it. And any donation, Bob, is wholly appreciated. And so are the rest of the Horn family that hears his voice and keep Bob's on the air. So, yeah. That's what we need to do. Reach down and grab a few bucks, and it all piles up together, baby.
Yeah, especially because this 45 bucks is a challenge. And when those get left on the table, that hurts.
Yeah. Well, nobody, you know, it's hard, Bob, because, you know, I know you don't want to ask for it. You know, but if you don't, then the show goes away. You know, and it's that's the bottom line. You know, so you either have to ask for it and solicit those donations to keep going. Or the voice goes away, and we can't let that happen.
I would prefer I would prefer that it not. But speaking of those ribby little hash brown patties, I have learned another thing.
What's that? The government got the 60%.
No, well, corporate agribusiness gets the 60%. Believe me,
believe me, it's horrible.
No, I found out this thing. If you get the 2 for $2. Now, this is not healthy food, okay? Let's understand that.
Yeah.
But if you get the 2 for $2 hash browns and you order a side of their sausage gravy,
right. The
hash browns with the sausage gravy are far better than the biscuits with the sausage gravy.
Well, there you go.
You can just use that hash brown as a kind of a shovel.
To rake the rest of it in.
And you get the little.
Wait, your McDonald's have sausage gravy?
Well, yes.
Get on down to that McDonald's and complain that you're not getting that sausage gravy, or you're not getting.
Have you got? Wait a minute. Have you got some sort of heathen McDonald's out there, Sparky?
Yeah, we don't have no sausage gravy.
You're kidding me. That's a standard, bro.
When I lived in Redding, the only place you could get biscuits and gravy and fast food was Dorner Schnitzel.
Boy, how do you?
Well, I must confess, owned
by a Indian guy. It was amazing. It's the best sausage and gravy I've ever had.
Well, sausage gravy,
ain't been to my house. Kiss my butt.
Yeah, right. Now, a year ago when we were in Arlington, I was horrified to find out that McDonald's, Arlington, Virginia, did not have sausage gravy. But, yeah, you just use that hash brown as a little shovel and scoop it. Oh, it's good. But the thing is, if you really want to make it, what you've really got to do is you got to get about 8 packets of their little black pepper packets and just dump it right on top of the sausage gravy.
And mix it all in there. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I do.
I like it heavily peppered.
I do my own, and I cook my own potato patties. And then I put a couple eggs on it. And I put the gravy over it.
Whoa.
Sausage gravy over it.
Yeah.
Two eggs over easy on top of the potato patty and then sausage gravy.
That's righteous. That's righteous.
My wife got lucky. I do breakfast, baby. She cooks either if we have a lunch or you know, we always have dinner, but sometimes we just skip lunch and just have two meals a day just because you're busy or some shit. But I do breakfast, baby. I get up, I do the eggs, I do the potatoes, the sausage, all that shit.
But out on the...
Ain't I a nice guy?
Oh, you are.
And you probably, I am a nice guy.
And you're probably a damn good cook.
No. It's just if I have to wait on her, I'm going to start.
Oh, she ain't in earshot, is she?
No. She's out in the living room, and I hope she didn't hear that.
Because if it is, you're going to be out in the living room tonight.
Yeah. No. She
I'm
going to
call
fine.
Her up. I'm going to call her up, Johnny. No favors,
Oh, no. Yeah, Tracy's dropping the dime.
I mean to tell you what, friends, buddy, friends. Nobody is screwing you up faster than your buddies, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I went off on one of the guys at my office today. I didn't go off. I mean, I was joking, not joking. So he's an older brother, and he's really funny, really sweet. And every time he sees me, he just, you know, chocolate drop and blah, blah, blah. So one of the guys like, but I thought you liked white chocolate. And I looked at him, excuse me, what? So I said, wait, does that mean? Is your wife white? No, he's like, but I said, you know, I didn't, you know, I, he's like, yeah. And I'm like, really? He's like, but I don't date black women. I've never been with black women. And that's when I lost my shit. I'm like, excuse me? Well, I'm not going to really say what I said to him because it was awful.
No, somebody had a death wish.
Right. And I said, so what's wrong? I said, you came out of, how can I say this without it being really profane? Basically, I told him, well, what's wrong with black women? Your mama was black, but that's not exactly how I said it. So, you know, and we had this conversation. He's like, well, you know, me and black women. I'm like, who are you, Wesley Snipes?
Oh, ow.
No.
Because like I said, he's like, but your wife is white. I said, yes, but I dated black people. And I've dated black men and I've dated, you know, white men and everything. But how are you going to, It's like, because I said, you know, you do realize if Obama had married a white woman, if Michelle Obama was white, then Barack Obama would never become president. At least black women wouldn't have voted for him. Wouldn't have happened. I don't care how cool you are, bro. This is, you know, and again, I don't have an issue. You know, it's just, there's just this thing. This is unwritten rule. It's just that you know, it's hard it is for black women to find a black man, and you know, and like I said, I'm not telling anybody who to love or anything like that, but it's hard. It is really hard when a sister sees it. It's like, damn. So what's wrong with us? Especially when the white woman looks like somebody off the Jerry Springer show.
Ooh, Jerry beads.
It's like, and I've seen those. I'm like, wait a minute, so it's like it's these things that, like, because he's like, man, why'd you dime me out to Tracy? And he's there like, she had to know. I would never, John, I'd never dime you out. I wouldn't do that to you.
That's all right. Mama doesn't answer the phone anyway. Mama never answers the phone unless it's her sister or her friend ever. That's it. Two people. And me. Three.
I have to say, wait, she don't answer the phone when you call?
No, yeah, she doesn't. Just three people. That's it. Any other number? Nope. Not answering it. No, she doesn't. Now, she doesn't do talking.
Back to the biscuits and gravy thing. We don't have that in L.A. Well, you know what? Up until
it's standard here. Every restaurant has
just about
gravy.
Down here in Texas too. It's biscuits and gravy, man. That's like
Chick-fil-A has
sausage
gravy.
And eggs or something. Yeah.
They don't even have biscuits and gravy at the Chick-fil-A out here. Oh wait, I'm a lesbian. I'm not supposed to be eating a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
no,
I was gonna say.
And how would you know?
Yes.
Well, occasionally we backslide.
And how would you know?
God damn it, you're hungry.
Yeah, well.
Just happened to see the menu online, I guess, during a protest.
I stuck my hammers behind the register.
I mean.
No. The worst part about it is those bastards came up with the key lime frosty or whatever. Motherfuckers.
What was that?
It's a key lime. They're key lime. They mix key lime with their ice
cream. They call it frozen key limeade.
Might as well be key lime crack.
And what they do is they take their limeade and they blend it with vanilla soft serve. How do you know about this, Bob? I saw one drinking one at the mall.
Ah, bullshit.
You had them under surveillance, Bob. Good for you. I'm proud that you're out there doing it.
Is this something diabetics take?
Yeah.
If they have a death wish, yes.
Or if you just want to tinker with your sugar and see it go above 300, yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, fun. I like a coma. Why not?
Hey, let's light it up. Yeah. Speaking of which, the other end of that spectrum is no fun either, and that is when your blood sugar goes down to like 2.
Oh, I know. I've been there.
That's almost worse.
Well, I've been.
You go to sleep.
I've been hypoglycemic all my life.
Same here.
And
you puke, you go to sleep. I mean, that's horrible. You just break out in the cold sweat.
You get this cold sweat and the shakes. And then when you load up on the sugar to bring it back up, you're out like a light. Well, that happened to Jerry Nadler today. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Yeah, I saw that.
Who's that?
He had a low blood sugar attack?
Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee.
He had bariatric surgery about 10 years ago. Yeah, he used to be huge. I mean, huge.
Oh, wow.
The surgery really helped him. Yeah, it really helped him.
But the room, it was a hot room. It was a stuffy room. Yep. He was dehydrated. He hadn't been eating right because he takes his job seriously. Yeah. And I mean, I've had that happen.
Oh man, yeah, you faint.
Oh, it's terrible. And
they
gave him a bottle of water and an orange, and he perked right up. Hey, I got good news. Thank you, Darlene in Connecticut, for finishing off Chris's challenge, and thank you to Steve in New York, who got us started on the other 245. We're down to 235 now. Steve says, been a bit since I've been able to kick in. Things turning around. Thank you, Steve. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Darlene. And thanks to everybody who met the challenge. There's 235 to go. And, you know, a little over half an hour to get there. But we can do that. Meanwhile.
Back at the ranch.
Let's see here. What's that?
Back where the cows fart.
Ron and Raleigh, subject line, sausage gravy. Where'd it go? Where to go? Did you pull it?
I do love sausage gravy.
You can. I guess you can pull emails on the double quick now. And all I saw was subject line sausage gravy, and then it disappeared. I don't know what happened.
It's easy to make, but man, it's fattening. If you make it yourself, now when you buy it out, they somehow have a way of removing most of the fat. You know, I don't know how they do that, but. Mm. If you ever look at the nutritional value,
but if it's worth eating, it's.
That's me. I eat to die.
Worth not being good for you.
Yeah.
I eat to die, man. Sausage gravy, you bet your ass.
Simple to make too, and it's so good.
There was a line in Catch 22, one of the episodes I saw, where one of the characters was talking to Yossarian, and he said, "You know what the difference is between you and me?
Major."
I'm happy, 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 dead. Because they're talking about getting shot down in World War II. Me, I'm happy, 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 dead. You're worry, 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 dead.
Same outcome.
Keep me out of your shit.
So it's better than the movie, Bob.
Oh,
seriously?
Yeah, away.
Oh, yeah, it's better.
You look at all the stars you had in that movie, though.
Steve, you have to understand the way the book is structured.
Yeah,
I mean it's very stream of.
I've read the book.
Yeah,
too.
It's very stream of consciousness, and it's not linear at all. And somehow or another, the production company that George Clooney put together, they managed to write a coherent linear play and a teleplay, and it makes sense, and you can follow the characters. And they've stayed fairly true to some elements of the book, but they're moving through it fairly quickly. You know, it's a fairly thick book. There's the sausage gravy note from Ron and Raleigh. Okay, email's being weird. the gravy of the Sierra Madre. Sausage gravy, we don't need no sausage gravy. We don't need no sausage gravy.
Gravy of the sausage.
Wait a minute.
We don't need no stinking sausage gravy.
Gravy of the Sierra Madre. I love a good film reference.
Hey, Bob.
Thank goodness Jerry Big Nads, Darlene in Connecticut writes, was just dehydrated and wondering what President Adipose Bone Spurs will say about it to prop himself up.
Well, I'm sure he will.
In order to knock down the $235, Darlene says, $100 challenge from a founding member of the Sorority of Leans and the Reverse Oreo Cookie Society. So,
oh, please.
There's a
$100 challenge out there, people. Y'all need to jump on that. That's a big commitment.
Yeah, it is.
Reverse and Oreos.
And part of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. So that would knock down all but $35 of what we've got to do.
Thank you,
Darlene. That's tremendous. Meanwhile, from Robert in Australia, Brexit is catch 22. Half the country wants to leave, half the country wants to stay. Those who want to leave the EU also want to continue to operate as though they're in the EU. They want to be both in the EU and out of it at the same time. Those who lead the leave vote are currently standing for the European Parliament, the organization they want nothing to do with. Theresa May has always been in a lose-lose situation. There's no way to make them all stay, the all-stay leave factions happy. They all want something different. I'm surprised she hung on for so long. P.S., and that's not even mentioning the Northern Ireland problem, which, by the way, is flaring up again.
I'm not surprised.
I don't know if you saw, but a brilliant young journalist a couple of weeks back was murdered during the course of some riots and protests in Northern Ireland. I got another thing to put out there just because this probably will be, it'll be superseded by other crazy by Moran Monday. We all remember Seb Gorka, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sebastian Gorka, the man who walked around wearing a medal that a Nazi outfit gave his daddy. That Seb Gorka, racist, fascist, anti-American, piece of shit.
Hungarian.
Well,
a friend of Trump.
And that's what I was supposed to say, a buddy of Trump's.
Right,
but after he got bounced out of the Trump regime, well, he went to work for One America News Now, which is just one moved consonant away from being Onan, who spilled his seat upon the ground and was killed by the Lord. One America News Now, One America is the news channel you tune to if you think that Fox News is just too full of sissy liberals.
Yeah, they lean too liberal.
Wow, they're that bad.
And so, with some really dodgy lighting and a cell phone, and he tries to turn to give his good side or something, he put this out there for consideration today. Get the hockey puck and the duct tape, you will be. You'll be barking. There's no setup to this.
I knew this day would come, but I didn't expect it so soon. Thanks to the actions and statements of Nancy Pelosi in the last 48 hours, the president has brought forth his decision, and the Kraken has been unleashed. With his decision tonight to allow the Attorney General to declassify any information relating to the illegal surveillance against his presidential campaign and his administration, we will find out who began the biggest political scandal in American history and where the responsibility lies. Watch in the next 2 days the rats, the hyenas, start to eat each other. Clapper, Brennan, Lynch, even Obama. The fun and games have begun. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Stay tuned. SebGorka.com.
Pull
it out of your ass.
Wow. I'm Sebastian Gorka. I've got the better tagline. I'm Sebastian Gorka. I'm off my meds.
That's it.
That's the Bastion of Gorka.
I'm telling you.
Jesus.
Boy, how many times you reckon he practiced that?
Hey, Bob, have you heard about this Klan rally in Ohio tomorrow? There was some news about that. Or
are you going, Otto?
No.
Oh, jeez. Well,
yeah, I'm going incognito. No, I have to clean my sheets.
No. You need to go incognito. No. You need to go incognito.
Yeah. I love that Dave Chappelle where he thinks he's a Ku Klux Klan wizard, but he's blind.
The blind black guy.
I don't know if you guys have heard about that.
Out there, man.
So that's going to be fun. Another Charlottesville tomorrow, somewhere in Ohio. I have to look that up.
Oh, nice. Great.
God, I love this country. It's so awesome.
It's just so messed up. I mean, but that Ben Carson thing and the
snowballing out of control was
just messed up.
The Oreos?
Yeah,
what?
The Oreos. See that picture of him holding a package of Oreos? It's like, does this guy get the joke? He's just an idiot. You know.
Wait a minute. He was trying to goof on himself. He doesn't realize.
Yeah,
the next
day he was photographed with Oreos, and sent a package to Katie Porter. Tracy, you know, your cousin, Katie?
My white cousin, right.
Yes, your white cousin, right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'd be kind of proud to have her for a white cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She bad. It is so embarrassing. Because remember, I think I sent you this article on Michael Harriet's clapback. I haven't checked this Friday's clapback, but... Michael Harriet is a writer, and he writes on The Root, is a black web magazine. And so this white woman went off on him because he was talking about Nipsey Hussle after he, you know, was murdered. And she's like, you're talking about uplifting a thug, and you should be uplifting somebody like Ben Carson. So Michael Harriet's like, first of all, don't tell black people who to lift up, right? So he's like, you know, first of all, I never even heard of Nipsey Hussle. Like, I never heard of him until he was murdered. And the only reason why we were praising him was because of everything he was doing in the community. He was fighting gentrification. He was, you know, giving jobs to people. He had a STEM program for the kids in the neighborhood, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, so, and she, and he's like, by the way, black people used to really like Ben Carson because I was a Ben Carson fan because of what he did, you know, how he fought, everything that he went through to become a doctor and all this sort of stuff. And he's like, there's probably more black people who heard of Ben Carson than Nipsey Hussle. And until he became an idiot and started dealing with Trump, that's when we're done with them. So, you know, don't, you know, get pissy because we don't like Ben Carson anymore. He's disinvited to the cookout. There's a whole list of plate people that are no longer invited to the cookout that are black. Nips, that would be Ben Carson. What's that girl's name? Candace Owens.
Yeah, she's not coming to the cookout.
Kanye West. This is a whole list of black folks that we do. Oh, Steve Harvey.
Well,
he's been disinvited. You know, so there's a legion of black folks that, you know, we used to really, well, see, not, wait, didn't Candace Owens used to be a Democrat?
No, I don't think so. I think she's always been an idiot.
Tammy Bruce?
I don't know who that is. Who is that?
Okay, is that, did you say Owens or Bruce?
Candace Owens.
Candace Owens.
Okay.
Yeah, she's she's the one who said Hitler would have been cool if he would have kept his nationalism inside German boundaries. Hitler would have been cool if he just would have murdered German Jews.
Yeah. And let us not forget Velveeta King. What is her real name?
Alveda.
Okay. I'm like, I don't even know the woman.
What's that duo, Diamond and Silk or whatever?
They were never invited to the cookout. See, these are people
they were never invited.
You mean they just can't show up? Hey.
No. See, there's, like I said, like, people like Kanye West definitely used to be in the cookout. Steve Harvey definitely used to be part of the cookout. So there's certain black people who have been disenfranchised. They're no longer invited to the cookout. They had to turn in their black card. All these things. You are effectively blackballed from the black community because
No one will ever sell them shea butter again.
No. You would not get shea butter. You have to use Jergens.
Oh, hell on earth. Daily deliveries of cases of mayonnaise will be arriving at their homes.
Your skin will blister.
You are no longer allowed to use the whole, no more shea butter or cocoa butter for you. No more silk pillowcases for the women so your hair won't break off. So there's a whole list of things.
And forbidden forever from ever buying another bottle of Lowry's.
Exactly. You now will only be able to use plain old table salt. We're not even going to allow you to use sea salt. I mean, but then again, Did somebody ask me, what about O.J. Simpson? Did somebody say that one? O.J. was not, he was never invited either. Well, let me take that back. Because, see, black people knew that O.J. didn't really give a fuck about black people. And so the only reason why we were happy that he didn't get thrown in jail for killing a white woman was because he got away with murder. And most black men, once they get, he got away with killing a white woman, y'all. That's huge.
That is huge. And a white guy.
The white guy didn't really matter. It was the fact that all those fears that white men have about black men and they women. So it was just the fact that he got acquitted. And it's just like, because remember, he said, I'm not black, I'm OJ.
You mentioned a few minutes ago when Otto brought up the Klan rally in Ohio that he should go incognito. And now we're doing the OJ thing. So that means that I have to now play this clip.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Where are the white women at?
Sorry.
That was my friend that I was joking with, I said, so you one of those white, I said, you are the epitome of what white men fear. I mean, and this is a really big, strong, dark-skinned black man. And I'm like, man, I know the white man. I said, how did you get away? Because he's older. He's got to be probably damn near in his 80s, but of course he's black, so he looks like he's 60. So it's like, I said, how did you get away with being with a white woman back in the day? He's like, money.
Wow.
Money buys you access. And, OJ with Nicole Brown Simpson. I mean.
Well, look at Bill Cosby. There's another guy,
Yeah.
Well,
can I make
a fucking with white woman, except for the. Yeah, he did rape them.
Let me go to the mailbag real quick.
Sure.
And with about 20 minutes left in the program, a reminder, we've got a $100 challenge on the table. Courtesy of Darlene.
Put me in for $20 to
$25
for that.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy. $75 to go. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you so very much, especially given the week that you've had.
Yeah, it's been fucked up, but whatever.
So, a couple of observations. Darlene in Connecticut just wrote and said, just blew a fuse here. Gorka can go fuck himself. How infuriating. Barr turning on our own intel community is exactly what Putin wants. Maybe Putin has compromised on that fat bullfrog troll too. I think they're all bought, goddammit. And this goes back to something.
I like that girl.
This goes back to something that Russell in Delaware said a little bit ago. Investigation of the Trump campaign, Barr will leak the names, phone numbers, and addresses of all the people who contributed to the Steele dossier, the ultimate gift to Vlad, all the people who helped and are part of the Ways and Means. They will soon disappear.
Professor Milfoot, whatever his name is, he's disappeared.
Well, I know there's a whole bunch of people out there who would very much like to see impeachment proceedings begin like tomorrow.
Yep.
Or yesterday. But I'm beginning to think that maybe the smart money is, let's get some proceedings going on bar? Could we maybe? Please?
Absolutely.
And then, you know, just as a little bit of background on this, I'm looking for something here. Down my timeline.
He's trying to remove congressional oversight is what he's doing.
Didn't
he is trying to
what
put
about
his thumb.
Handler's health?
Well, he's I think that's while you were taking care of Grady, Sparky. It was low blood sugar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Gerald Nadler.
It wasn't Novichok, Sparky.
Did House Judiciary accept the deal presented by Justice Department to over documents not go after Barr?
There's a couple of deals in place. They struck a deal for most of the redacted information, and they also struck a deal to hold the subpoenas in abeyance until the D.C. Circuit can hear it. And I'd kind of like to go into that a little bit. I'm looking for a tweet here, and I can't find the damn thing. There it is. Malcolm Nance earlier today said, "Warning, we are in grave danger. Trump says he declassified all Allied intelligence from FBI, GCHQ,
Bingo.
MI6, AVID, and ASIS for AG Barr to get revenge. This is the end of the Five Eyes." This is the end of the Five Eyes relationship. No one will ever share intelligence with us again. Impeach to save our nation's security. Malcolm Nance is now hollering impeach. But I do want to go back.
And Barr needs to go too. I mean, he's just as culpable as Trump is. Both of them.
And by the way, Ron and Raleigh says John Wick reference. All these House Negroes are now excommunicado. Yeah, and the new John Wick movie's getting excommunicado. Oh, I don't think I've heard Tracy laugh like that in a while. That's good. But I do want to go back to that one thing that I was talking about. And last night was such a technical screw up; it may not have gotten through. I think we really, really do need to at least ponder this, because again. And I saw one of those people with a bajillion Twitter followers today saying that he had deconstructed every argument against impeachment. I'm not offering an argument against impeachment. I'm arguing a strategic approach to it. And, like, for instance, these the subpoenas have been for Mazars, the accounting firm, have been held in abeyance pending action by the D.C. Circuit. And remember, that's an Obama appointee, a Clinton appointee, and a Trump appointee. And the Trump appointee, she's just nuts, Naomi Rao. So if that matter of those subpoenas is ruled upon by a 2-1 vote and the case and the opinion of the district court is upheld, meaning the subpoenas are valid, then they'll take it to the Supreme Court.
That's where they want to take it.
But,
well, Bob, what they'll try to do first is they'll try to get the full
They'll ask for an en banc hearing. There's no doubt about that,
yeah.
Right? But they're not necessarily,
which will be denied probably,
right? And then it'll go to the Supreme Court, where if there's anybody up there who still believes in the rule of law, and we know there are four. And sometimes Roberts. Well, they're going to have 5 votes to get the damn thing heard on cert. If the court refuses to hear that, then the order becomes final out of whatever happened at the D.C. Circuit. In other words, the subpoenas being upheld.
Seems like we're going to have a test of the Supreme Court if that happens.
I'm just trying to play this out a few moves, thinking of all the possible alternatives.
Yeah, you're unraveling this. Go ahead.
Who presides over the Senate trial of a bill of impeachment?
John Roberts, of course.
The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, correct?
Yep, exactly.
So what happens to a case that goes up to a Supreme Court and there's a tie on the petition for cert?
You mean as far as accepting it or not accepting it?
Right.
Well, if it's 4-4, then the petition is not accepted. There has to be 5 votes.
Right.
To get it in front of the Supreme Court.
And even if it gets
in,
and even
it go forward.
And even if it goes, and even if it gets into the Supreme Court, what happens if there's a 4-4 tie there?
The lower court upruling is what stands.
It gets deferred to the lower court.
And so what if John Roberts, I mean, I'm not saying this is going to happen. But it's
well, you're so far out ahead of the curve, Bob, it might happen.
I hope you're not. Are you being sarcastic, Rick?
No, I'm not.
Look how they've been stacking the courts.
If I was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and this shit was coming up to me, you know, nobody can make a Supreme Court justice recuse. But if John Roberts were to say, listen, I'm going to recuse myself from this vote because this would obviously serve, you know, the way he's treated these subpoenas would obviously serve as grounds for a count of a bill of impeachment, then that's John Roberts saying, impeach this fucker. Now, like I said, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm trying to tease out threads of reality out there.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, Bob.
But he would be ruling on a case he would be ruling on later.
We know who's in the sandbox in the Senate, though, Bob. Look at these clowns.
Hold on.
He doesn't actually rule on anything except on the.
Whoa, boys, children, let the man talk.
Hold on. Okay. Even if he doesn't do any of those things, if those subpoenas are upheld, Mazars, Deutsche Bank, Citibank, remember, TD Bank and Wells Fargo just honored the subpoenas and turned the shit over. Okay, so that establishes a little bit of precedent in and of itself. It was referred to as, I think, a few thousand documents on the part of Wells Fargo and something called a handful with regard to TD Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you've got, and Rick, you may have heard me talking about this. If that thing is final as of the Supreme Court of the United States, then that is res judicata as to it happening.
Well,
and it's worth party, it is worth waiting. It's worth waiting for those things to make it through the system. And in the case of Mazars, it's going to be argued on July the 13th, which means some sort of Supreme Court action will take place by October.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's worth waiting on those things to have those things go final because at that point in time they are unquestionable. They're unquestionable in the House, and they're unquestionable in the Senate. So that the only way, if that's part of a bill of impeachment in the House, the only way you can vote against that bill, that count of the bill of impeachment in the Senate, is if you simply say, I'm playing politics with this, and I'm going to ignore the entire rule of law.
Well, that's what the senators will do, Bob.
Sounds like a plan.
After all, look at Mitch McConnell.
Well, I think that's what Mitch McConnell will do.
Look what he did to Merrick Garland.
I think that's what Mitch McConnell will do. But if you want something that you can hang a hat on, if you want something that you've got a 1 in a million chance of 23 Republican senators signing off on, that's the kind of thing you've got to have.
You've got to have the facts and the truth out there.
Yeah.
And all of it. That's, you know, that's what I keep preaching. Not as eloquently as you just did, but we're not going to get anything done until we can force the Republicans in the Senate to turn on Donnie. That's it. And you're only going to do that with the information that they can dig out of that.
There's one Republican that flipped from Michigan. That's the only one I've heard of. So
yeah, and that's a con too. And I want to mention, and you know, we'll probably go overtime a little bit because, you know, I was an hour late. if anybody wants to stick around. I
want
to.
You
were
on CP time, Bob.
Oh, was that what that was? I'm honored.
I don't know.
I am honored.
You were on CP. Yeah, you should be.
I am. I want to touch on this Assange business for a minute because I've been watching various and sundry members of the multimillionaire for-profit media suddenly having a baby over it. If you recall, when he was originally indicted on one count, the charge had nothing to do with journalism whatsoever. It had to do with him being an accessory to a goddamn felony hacking charge. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we've got 17 new counts under the Espionage Act on a theory of prosecution that is pretty well untested and is in uncharted waters. Now, I'm not necessarily a paranoid, and I don't want to get out my Alex Jones, fake muscular fat guy chest and have to put it on or anything and start screaming about monkey jellyfish hybrids being sold in the bazaars of old Kowloon. But
true story.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We'll get there. But here's the deal. This administration does not want whatever it is about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and their playing footsie with the GRU and the IRA and the VLAD to come to light in some open court somewhere. I'm convinced of that. So what better way to protect Julian Assange than to charge him with criminal violations that are heretofore untested in the body of law as we understand the law of the Espionage Act to be? What if this prosecution of Assange is a great big goddamn con? Because remember, the people running that grand jury are being run, and this only came to light after Bill Barr became Attorney General. That one count was enough to get the job done, and it was a lead pipe fucking cinch. Okay, if you really want to prosecute Julian Assange, that one count that they had was solid. That is specifically why they did not use the Espionage Act counts that they have now returned as indictments. They wanted to get the conviction, and they wanted that to stand for extradition.
They want to use it to attack use the First Amendment to.
Well, no. What they're going to do is they're going to use the espionage, this untested Espionage Act theory, to tank the prosecution. They are tanking their own prosecution.
These shifty motherfuckers.
It's shifty as shit, and I hate having to think like this, but every time, it's like Justin Amash out there, I'm a principled Republican, blah, blah, blah. And guess what's happened? He comes out there and says that, and all of a sudden, the focus turns to what a bunch of lily-livered sissies the Democrats are because they haven't run out and fired their impeachment shot before they've even got the rifle loaded. I know I'm cynical, but 15 years behind this microphone has made me cynical.
We've been getting fucked since the 2000 election debacle.
That's right.
I mean, no wonder you're cynical.
No, so it's since Reagan, we've been fucked. Since
fuck
Reagan.
That, since Nixon.
Yeah, him too.
That's right.
But we really started getting reamed in 2000, that Bush v. Gore thing. Jesus. Yeah.
Well, it was Nixon's pardon from Gerald Ford, I think, that set the precedent. The president acquired more power that he could, if he did something criminal, he could be pardoned later on if he were impeached or resigned. So,
if the president does it, it's not illegal.
And if you go back, if you go back to Todd Stoke the Stroke theory. Continuing to turn the heat up on the boiling frog, is a good way to eventually eat frog legs.
Mm.
And I think she's right. I think he desperately wants to be impeached because he thinks it will inure to his political benefit, because he thinks America will look at this the same way that America looked at impeaching a president over a blowjob.
You know he does. Oh, please don't throw me in
that's
the fire.
That's what he's
patch.
Hoping for.
Oh, yeah, oh, he wants it. That's why he keeps egging Nancy and, you know, throwing these temper tantrums and inviting them to the White House to discuss this and not discussing shit, just going out to the Rose Garden and just looking like a jackass, you know, throwing a temper tantrum.
3 days
That's
in a row.
Exactly why.
3 days in a row. He'll probably be shrieking from Japan, too. Darlene with an email a moment ago saying, Nancy explained her thinking on impeachment beautifully in her recent weekly address. She's echoing exactly what you've said, Bob. She said they want the evidence against Trump to be ironclad. Darlene says, I don't know if the for-profit media is mature and non-dysfunctional enough to get it. Mm.
She also said she hoped that his family would do an intervention. I mean, there's a lot of implications there, especially the way he's all the time. You know,
she's pushing his buttons.
Yeah.
She knows what she's doing.
Hey,
She's poking him with the stick.
She is stoking the stroke.
I sent a tweet to Speaker Pelosi, and I said, Speaker Pelosi, way to own the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini exclamation mark. And people are loving it, actually.
Nice.
I tweeted Donnie this morning. I said, for a stable genius, you sure do act like a dumbass.
That's beautiful. I did another one. It said, stable genius equals Mr. Ed. Some people like that one as well.
Yeah, serve some peanut butter in his mouth and watch him move. I'm telling you. I don't know, Bob. I'll tell you what. I want impeachment, but I want the hearings to start. I want the information, and we can't get that until we get these subpoenas. But it's going to come out. The state of New York passed that thing. We're going to get a little state tax thing. Of course, he's going to fight everything because that's his game. Chaos is his game. It's almost like the movie. Chaos is our.
But Christ, Uncle John, everything is coming at us so fast.
That's
and hard,
his plan, baby. He wants you all screaming and hollering about something.
Usually, the week before a Monday holiday, news is dead. That's why most of your progressive and a lot of conservative talk radio hosts, they skedaddle. They don't even work that week because usually there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, every day this week, man, has been here we go again.
Crazy.
Something else.
It's normal.
Yeah. Well,
just crazy, chaos doesn't it? Has become normal. The shitstorm that you had last week is going to be forecasted for next week.
Yeah. And the week after that,
it is.
I guess that's climate change. I guess a lot of shit storms are happening.
Yeah, that's a lot of shit flying around, baby. I'm telling you.
Ask James Inhofe.
But that's his game, is to keep that shit flying.
What's going on with Mueller? Is he going to testify? There was talk about him testifying.
Behind closed doors.
Yeah, it's supposed to be behind.
Oh, that's not good.
But we get transcripts.
When we get behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. When's the karaoke? I did pretty well.
His opening statement is going to be public, but then he wants to go behind closed doors.
But they're going to release the transcript, so you'll be able to see it. I mean,
it's better to see it live instead of read a transcript.
Well, sure, because you get to see their expressions and the sincerity and all that.
They're going to hit a lesser amount of the public as much as they can.
I'd like to have them have Mueller just read the stuff that was reacted in black. Can you please read the stuff that was blacked out here on this page?
Exactly.
That's what we need. And it's a crime that we have not seen that unredacted report.
All of this shit, his taxes, the report unredacted. His financial situations, all of that is part of the investigation that we need to get on the House floor, because just as we were speaking a minute ago, that's the vehicle that is going to turn those Republicans against him. You know, at some point when the shit gets so deep, when it's right up underneath their nose and they're going to lose their breath, they'll turn on him, but it's going to take a whole lot of shit. But
hey,
we
Bob,
know there's a whole lot of shit out there.
Bob, you got to give Rick
a whole
Rick
lot of
a,
shit because he's like a god in the Republicans' eyes right now in terms of it's like a religion. I mean, you can't convince religionists that their views are wrong.
Just I mean, listen to Washington Journal.
Like, you know?
God damn, the things went off the rails, man.
Yeah. Hey, does anybody have time for arts and entertainment here?
Sure.
Hey, I see that Little Feat celebrating 50 years, and they're playing in Beverly Hills. And I'm not going to go on.
You're killing me, Rick. Yeah. You're killing me.
Has anyone heard them lately, or like in the last 10 years? I mean, meaning lately?
They become a footnote.
Have they?
What Little Feat was Lowell George, and Lowell George was Little Feat.
Wasn't that Waiting on Columbus? Didn't they release that double live? Is that them or?
Yeah, Waiting for Columbus.
I'll tell you who they have. Lowell George is he dead? Bob.
Yeah, for a long time. OD.
Okay, so I guess they have.
He won't be there.
I'll tell you who they do have. They still have the founding pianist and singer Bill Payne.
That'll be a good show.
They've got Paul Barrar, Kenny Gradney, Sam Clayton, Fred Tackett, Gabe Ford. They're going to be joined by the Midnight Ramble Band that includes Amy Helm, Larry Campbell, Teresa Williams, and the Ramble Band Horns.
I'm going to search to see if they're coming to the east side. I'd like to see them, man.
You think that would be a good show? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I would go.
Okay, well, I'll probably get a couple of tickets then.
These old farts, they got it down. They get these professional backup bands that lift them up, and they could go out there and just burp in the mic, and it would sound good, you know?
That's another oral fixation we could talk about, from farting to burping and singing.
Well, yeah, I thought I'd tone it down.
Okay, we're moving to the Pacific time zone, standard time now, I guess.
Well, just remember, whatever comes out your mouth, your ass refused.
Well, you know, Freud talked about that, the relationship between the oral and the anal, and there is a dialectic there. So, so whenever you're in a kind of an anal retentive mood, just make sure that it's down in your ass. It's not in your mouth.
Oh, God. I'll think of that every time.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Rough hit.
So we were talking about OJ before, and there's actually a pool tie-in to that. When you've got to do an extreme cut on a shot, we call it, okay, you got to do the OJ now.
Extreme cut.
That's bad. I know.
That's bad. Yeah, that's terrible.
I know.
But we forgive you.
I know you do. I think maybe I'll see that show. That might be fun.
There's always these tacky jokes after a major disaster. I remember when the shuttle went down in 86 or 87, the joke was, what does NASA mean? Oh, need another 7 astronauts.
Oh, God.
Oh, really? Are we going to dredge that shit up?
It's only on your show, Bob.
Or that school teacher. She taught science, and now she's history.
Oh, really? We're doing this?
No, are you talking about Mary Kay Tourneau or whatever?
Yeah, Mary Kay Tourneau. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, she was a whack job, man.
Total whack job. I never had a teacher like that, though, for some reason.
Yeah.
My God.
That's every young kid's wet dream, you know. When they discover they can have an erection, and they go, "Oh wow, she's kind of hot."
You're talking about Christine McCullough, right? She had blue eyes. One blew this way, one blew that away. I mean, you're right. You're so
We're going right down to the bottom, baby.
Yeah. She had dandruff too. Right, they her head there. And shoulders on the beach.
All in color.
That's shameful.
How long can we go here?
You guys have to stop, because there are going to be people who have listened to this.
Quiet,
show,
Mom.
Listen to this show for the first time. Look, don't make me come back there.
Yeah, don't make her come back there.
There's going to be people listening to this show for the first time. They're going to be like, really? This is
the last time.
It's not progressive.
Well, we're pretty irreverent here, everybody. So, you know, usually talk Friday seriously. Night. You got to let your hair down.
It's after hours, but we're on borrowed time anyhow.
A philosophical joke. Have you heard this joke? A woman walks into a cafe and demands, "Waiter, I would like a coffee without cream." The waiter replies, "Madame, we have no cream. All I can serve is coffee without milk." And that joke, that is a joke, because it's when negative substantiates another. And then what you have is kind of like, wow, that's an interesting concept. So I like stuff that kind of makes you think.
I hate philosophy.
Okay, never mind.
You mean I got to think about this shit?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to. I've been trying to read Hegel's Phenomenology of the Spirit, and it's like I can't get through the first two chapters. He's the hardest philosopher to read.
Just listen to Monty Python's Philosopher's Song and be done.
Right.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah, Joe. What's up, man?
No, you deserve a cowbell for shitstorm and what climate change. Oh, climate change. Oh,
okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
There you go.
I appreciate that. It is unprecedented, though. It's like every single day there's something going on. It's major shit, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's scary. And you know, at some point in time, you would think that you know, the dam's going to bust. You know, that's kind of what we're all waiting for. Okay, when is enough enough? You know.
Rick, I've been asking that question.
Didn't they do a skit about that on Saturday Night Live just the other night? How far will you go supporting this man as he tears this country apart?
Well, farmers are still down with him. And I've seen a couple of them upset,
but Donnie came through right after saw a few of them get upset on TV and said they weren't going to go with him. Well, Donnie comes up with another package for the farmers for their welfare. And make no mistake, that's exactly what it is.
Welfare is benefiting mostly the big
that's right.
Big enterprises.
That's right.
That's right. That's who's getting that money. It ain't no poor family farm down
Midland,
there.
All these big Monsanto, all these big fucking companies. That's
yeah. Yeah. That's who's getting that money, baby.
And the family farmers so are don't buy into that. Paying themselves again.
Yeah. They had farmers on Washington General this morning, and than half of them were Trump supporters.
Yeah. Oh,
even though they're getting kicked in the head, I'm like, what is wrong with you?
That's called paying for the vote, baby. I don't know how they accept it in any kind of honor. He shit on them and then pays them a check and say, well, it's okay. Oh, okay, you got any money? That's it. As long as they're getting a check, baby, as long as they're getting the money. Donnie will shit all over them.
The thing with this trade war is he has no strategy whatsoever. The guy cannot negotiate himself out of a paper bag. And it's just like, okay, we'll do this, like, you know, every day's a new day. We'll see, you know, we'll see how things work out. We won't have any plan. We'll just go along and, you know, pretend I'm president.
All he does is react, and then he doesn't really change any strategy. And it's like, you know, it's like it's so frustrating to read the news. I can't stand reading about this trade war. I mean, and he doesn't understand the nature of tariffs. It's a tax.
No.
Well, you know, he kind of reminds me of like a third grade checkers player. He's not so good at it, you know.
Yeah, he's not good at anything.
How dare you spare third grade checker players there, Rick?
Yeah, you're
I mean, we got to remember that you know. I guess I haven't seen it yet, but
Howard Stern did
an interview, and he's talking about how.
Done right. Oh. I'm sorry, Uncle John. No, go ahead.
That's all right. I was just saying it started out as a PR stunt. He didn't think he could become president. None of us thought that.
Yeah, no.
But
exactly. The I said this today. They cried, you know.
It's totally cynical.
It's not that.
Okay.
He had...
See, this is another one of my Alex Jones moments.
Oh, rip it out! Where's your chest?
There, you say whip it out.
No, rip, Tracy, rip.
Rip it out.
Damn, Tracy,
now,
we're
Tracy,
shocked.
We're surprised at you, dear. You shock us.
Well, what is Cleveland? Excuse me why.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
No.
That's a great thing.
Everything. I question everything now.
We have to now,
and maybe it means that I, you know, need to go to Arizona and pet horses for 6 weeks like Rush Limbaugh did once.
Ain't happening.
But yeah. I question everything, and so when this narrative comes out about how Donald Trump didn't really want to be president, he just wanted to negotiate a better pay deal with NBC. Then why were the fucking Russians involved?
Because they knew a mark when they seen one.
Yep.
They fell right into that, pumped right into it, made it happen.
And by the way,
I think he did start it off as just he pissed off about everything.
He'd been working on Trump Russia for a long time, John.
Decades.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I theorize. By the way,
he said something. And of course, the multimillionaire for-profit media blew right past it because there was something wacky or stupid. But he said something in one of his tantrums where I went, huh?
What's that?
About Don Jr.?
No.
No.
I saw this. Go ahead, Bob.
Trump said, Mueller's been through my taxes with a fine-toothed comb.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they all just blew by that.
Yeah. He was trying to sell that point.
How does he know?
How does he know?
It's that Senator Virginia.
No, Richard Burr, North Carolina.
Yeah.
But that's the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How does he know?
Money.
Mnuchin. The IRS.
Right.
And they told him?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know how people keep saying, white people keep saying, we didn't think he was going to get elected. No, see, because see, y'all don't realize,
and now, wait a minute, Tracy. Let's back up a minute.
Let her finish. Let her finish.
Let her finish.
I'm not talking about the group. I'm talking about white people as a collective and liberals and whatnot and so forth. What I'm saying is that there was all these people who did not feel and think, well, he's a racist, he's this and all this. I said, but see, they did not count on just how racist this country is. This man, the only thing he had he qualified for, his whole thing was his whiteness, his ability to be white and to be unabashedly white and claim his whiteness and be unafraid and and fuck white guilt, fuck liberalism and all this. I am that white guy. I am the white man that you have been praying for so you can say and do everything you've ever wanted to do. And there will be no consequences.
And promote division.
Amen.
Promote division. Yep.
I believe the same thing. It gave a lot of people that were the Rush Limbaugh people and Fox News people that demonized Obama the whole time he was in there, fed that right into Hillary. But it was that hatred that gave Donnie that victory. That's what I've always said. It was the hatred that they had for Obama having the audacity to show up in the White House as being a black person.
And there was a lot of blinded hate towards Hillary, too, Uncle John.
They transferred that over. They did it with Benghazi. They did it with constant whack.
Hillary hate before Obama even came along.
Yeah. That's true.
Since 1992, for anybody who was listening to Right Wing Radio, they hated Hillary more than they hated Bill the moment of the inauguration. Well, from before the inauguration.
Right. Bob, why did we run her then? I mean, what the fuck? What were we thinking?
Because it was a good dollar.
Amy Wasserman Schultz, ask her.
No, Debbie. No, it's not Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Just stop that. I love you, Otto, but no.
It was her time. I think I sent you the article, Bob.
CNC show.
It was almost like she was coronated or something, you know?
For those of you who, okay, a quick raise of hands or eyes. Who watches Game of Thrones?
Me and you, Tracy, that's it?
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Dennis, thank you.
So there's, and I'll send it to you, John, and for anybody, because there's, again, Michael Harriet, and he talks about how, and he ties in what's happening now and white privilege and stuff to the Games of Thrones. Guess who he called, because like Daenerys, her claim of fame, the only thing she had going for her really is her damn dragons, okay? That's who he called Hillary Clinton. It's like, it was, you know,
we all loved her right up until the time she got
popped.
Until she went nuts and killed everybody.
Yeah, she lost her. she lost her nut. But the thing is, it's like Hillary Clinton had this aura about her that says, this is my, it's mine, I deserve it, because I'm Hillary. I mean, she was definitely qualified and all that. But there was this thing is, she had this thing, it's all about me. I got this. Donald Trump's the boob. Yes, he is an idiot. Yes, he is a boob. But then Hillary was her own worst enemy, because she's like, she didn't put as much effort into a lot of stuff that she could have.
Oh, yeah. And, we can't get away with recognizing what we did wrong.
And the campaign, she ran two terrible campaigns. And that's because she had terrible campaign people.
And she got
terrible advice.
Man.
You know, I've voted for her. I wanted her to be president. She won the election. Let's do remember that. He is only president by operation of an anachronism from our slavery past.
Like a familiar story.
Which is what the Electoral College fucking is.
Yes.
Okay. But having been said, back in 2008, when she lost the primary to Barack Obama,
to a black guy,
somebody should have sat her down and said, I know you're smarter than all of us. You're smarter than all of us put together. You're brilliant.
Up, you know?
It should be your turn. You should be the first woman president by all rights. Mm. But Hillary, you just got your ass beaten by a black dude whose middle name is Hussein.
Yeah, and that's where it gave you that's what gave you Donnie. That's exactly my point. It released that anger that the white people, I guess, had all over the place for this the audacity of him.
The problem.
It unleashed the storm.
Hillary was not a very good politician. She was not a very good campaigner. Obama ran a brilliant campaign. He hired the right people. You know, but Hillary just did not. She didn't. You know, something happened. She didn't think it through. But you know, people were screaming at her in the 2016 election. You know, can you do some more campaigning in Wisconsin and Michigan? You know, they knew, people on the ground knew the race was tight. Even Michael Moore knew that Trump was going to win from what he could see.
He knew.
You know, and it's like, Bob said, it's like, if you get your ass handed to you by a black man, come on now.
In America,
women are the largest beneficiaries of affirmative action ever. So if a white woman with affirmative action couldn't get the nomination over a black guy, you have to start thinking. It's like, well, sis, maybe I should just kind of, you know, back down and just chill. But no.
That's right.
She was coordinated. She was, the heir apparent. And did Barack Obama endorse her? Or is it because he just had to? I don't remember.
We're going back to the first square off.
No, 2016. Yeah.
Okay.
2016.
Did Barack Obama endorse her?
Oh, hell yeah.
Didn't he can't do a few campaign stops for her? Quite certain he did.
He did. Certainly.
Yeah.
Lots of them. So did his wife.
Rose to fame on racism.
I remember the conversation Bob and I had to a T. They only gave Trump a 20% chance of winning. And I hope Bob remembers this. And I said, Bob, sometimes when they say there's a 20% chance of what it's going to rain, what happens?
If it's going to rain.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 You know,
believe me, I know that lately.
Well, it's like when they... Yeah, I heard an NPR story not too long back where they were talking about the need to figure out a way to better explain flood likelihoods, because that the standard that they use, for instance, that's a 500-year flood. It doesn't mean the last flood like that was 500 years ago. It's an expression of statistics, and people don't understand it. And if you fact, and once you factor in climate change too, then it just gets even worse. You can have a 500-year flood any time, and they don't have to be 500 years apart.
You can have a 500-year flood. Next month, have a 1,000-year flood.
Right.
Yep.
Look, next time we just have to go to call Noah and get the shit over with.
Well, like I said before,
we're all running to Kentucky.
All of our kids were born. When they were born, they brought massive demonstrations of meteorological fury with them. Margie was born during the worst ice storm in 50 years. Ferg was born in the deepest Christmas snow in 30 years. And Doodle was born in a 500-year flood.
Jesus.
And so after she was born, the people of the county came together and presented us humbly with a petition asking us not to have any more children.
No shit.
Well, what happened to me. Well, no, I got one even worse. I got one even worse. I was in New York right before 9/11, and I was in New Orleans right before Katrina. So it's like,
I hope you and Rick never go to a concert together.
Oh my God! Maybe I shouldn't go see the Little Feet then. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nah, Lowell George is already dead.
Don't you okay. kill people? It's safe. People then. Die it's safe. And you go see them in concert.
Let me ask you this: Is
only
Peter
killed
Noon
Tom
safe?
Petty?
You
Peter
Tom
Noon
Petty.
Is doing a concert the following Saturday. Is he safe or not?
Who?
No.
Peter Noon, Herman's is Hermits. You remember that band
from
the 60s?
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter.
Yeah, that's right. Mrs. Yeah. Brown, you got a lovely...
They're not on my bucket list. You know.
He still sounds good. I know.
Well, speaking of entertainment...
It's an excuse to get dressed up, okay, Steve?
I would go if they were close and everything.
Yeah.
Jen and I are going to Vegas next month. Of course, Janet Jackson opened her residency in Vegas this month. And the only month she's not going to be in Vegas is June. Anita Baker is going to be in Vegas.
Oh, is she? She's great.
We're going to be there on the 13th. Her last show is on the 8th. Cher is going to be in Vegas, and she's not going to be there in June.
Is she touring?
Of course she is. It's her
she's on her last tour.
Is she coming to the East Side? I'd love to see her, man.
She's like, 71, 72 years old?
It don't matter. I seen Tom Jones, and he was 80. He fucking rocked my...
Hey, the thing about Cher, this is her distinction. She had a hit record in 5 decades in a row, the only performer to do that in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and the 2000s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, she's the only one that's old enough to do that. Come on now.
Yeah. I guess she still needs one for the 2010s. I don't think she's had a hit record in the 2010s. She needs to somehow come up with something.
So she had them in the early, she had it in the aughts. She didn't have them in the... Wow.
She had something in the aughts. I think it was If I Could Turn Back Time.
No, yeah, that was. Yeah, I think that was.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, music and I, not so much. I mean, when people talk about certain artists and stuff like that, I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't keep up with who wrote who or sang who when, you know, whatever. Oh, Bob, so I gave you my list of stuff to watch. Yep. So there's Bob and I go back and forth about things.
Why don't you distribute it? Put me on your mailing list. I'm always looking for recommendations. You
well
know?
So the latest
that's what the show is for show. Steve.
Yeah, well this she said Bob.
Well because you know I don't
get your pen and paper handy, Steve.
It's always in front of me, man.
Okay.
There's a show that just came back on. It's called Vita. It's on Stars, and it's about these two Latinx sisters who were born and raised in East L.A., and they come back home because their mother died. And the first season was amazing. The second season just came out, so that, you know. See, I'm trying to give you guys culture, you know, from the people of color, women of color mostly. And so there's another show that the third season is about to start. The first and second seasons or on Hulu, and it's called, or the first, second, and third, this called Claws. And I had Bob dying because you got anybody, any show that has a character named Uncle Daddy, and I'm not lying, and Auntie Mama.
Uncle Daddy.
and we got Pill Mills.
Is this a Hillbilly Saga by chance, Tracy?
Uncle Daddy, take care.
Yeah, sort of. And
what's the name of the show?
It's called Claws. It's about these women who are up against all odds. There's a black woman, a Latinx cis woman, and two white women. And they get sucked into this life that they don't want to be a part of. But to watch how this show starts off and how the arc of this show, and my favorite person in the whole wide world, Niecy Nash, is the star of the show. And also, who watched Breaking Bad?
No spoilers. Right. I'm still on.
I watched it three times.
I did it twice. That was enough.
Hey, stand by. Hey, y'all keep talking amongst yourselves. I just got called back into the mansion. I'll be right back.
Okay.
So the guy that played the DEA agent on Breaking Bad is a drug dealer on Claws.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean,
he's a good actor. His name is like Dean something, I think.
He's cool.
He's a really good actor.
Yes.
And then also back to, you know, my favorite show in the whole wide world, and anybody that has Netflix can watch this. It's called Pose. It's about, you know, the LGBTQ people of color community in the late 80s and the ballroom culture. Basically, you know, that song Vogue. Well, Madonga.
I said Madonga.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Madonna covered it too, a version of Vogue.
No, she stole it.
Oh, okay.
She didn't cover it.
No, I say cover, you know. It means she ripped it off. Right.
Yeah, she straight up appropriated it because nobody even knew where she got it from. Even I didn't know. But it's an amazing show, and it's one of the first TV shows in history that has mostly transgender people of color actually playing transgender people. They don't have cis, you know, gender actors playing transgender people. And it's just an amazing show. And you need to watch that. You need to watch that. You ought to watch also that's on Netflix is Paris is Burning, because that gives you a really good background on what Pose is about.
Tracy, did you get my Wanda Sykes recommendation from earlier? Have you seen
it? Thank you. No, I saw it.
Not normal. Oh my God, it's almost peeing your pants funny. The first half hour.
Was that Scott last Friday or whoever talked about it last Friday?
Oh my gosh, it was good.
Holy Mother of God, man! Thank you for reminding me about that. See, that shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that.
Now there's another episode. Anybody that has HBO,
she speaks to me, man.
Have you seen her HBO special?
She did an
HBO special. I think it's maybe about a year or two ago. And there's a bit in there when she talks about getting waxed. Oh Jesus! Oh Jesus!
Oh, she's funny though. Have you seen her in Curb Your Enthusiasm? She was in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Wallace, man.
Wasn't she in Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I never really watched. That's my son's show. I never really watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, but she does come on Blackish every so often, uh-huh. And she's hilarious.
No, she's great in that. But there's a really funny black comic on that. I think J.P. Smoove, something like that. I love that guy. But he has.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's great. He has this demeanor. He moves into the house, and I forget the actor's name who plays the. Guy who looks like Bernie Sanders. What's his name? Larry David. He just can't handle this guy. It's like he wants him to move out, but he's like, "What's the problem? Hey, everything's great, you know."
But Wanda's
married.
Hilarious.
Yeah, he's great. I love that.
Wanda's
guy.
Married to a white woman, and they have a child. Is that correct, Tracy?
Well, she's married. Her wife is French, and the wife had two kids before they got together. And so that's the funny part.
She incorporates that into her act too.
Where she talks about that, the cultural differences about, you know, like the part. And only thing I'm going to say to you, Steve, is the balloon. Okay. So, you know, And basically, the cultural differences between how Black people discipline, especially Black women, discipline their children as opposed to how white people discipline their children, and the things that we take that, you know, that as we don't tolerate, but you got to realize that, you know, people do things a different way.
Sure.
So it, oh God, but it was, I mean, and I needed that laugh too, because I think, as a matter of fact, I think I watched it.
Yeah, right, that's after worth. The show it's was worth over. Watching twice. You know, I might it is worth, check that it again. Is, you know, because you may have missed something.
Worth watching twice, and I think did you ever watch it, Steve? Did you watch the two killings of Sam Cooke? Did you ever watch it?
No, I'm gonna write it down. Where's it at?
What's that?
Netflix. So anybody that knows about the Sam Cooke story, about how he was murdered. Mm-hmm. Basically, it talks about.
Oh, I didn't know he was murdered.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he was murdered in.
Was it a family member, Tracy, or?
No, it was the hotel manager. He was murdered in a kind of a seedy part of L.A., and so first that was the murder, and then the character assassination of Sam Cooke and his legacy. After the murder, because of all the.
This show's over, right?
Tracy, what's. Tracy, what's Netflix. The name of that?
The two killings of Sam Cooke. Oh, and it's on Netflix. Story.
Oh, good. That sounds interesting.
And then there's another one, and I think, Steve, you watched it because you're hooked on Darlene Love or 20 Feet from Stardom.
Oh, yeah.
And especially for you people who love music.
Mary Chastain, she's a goddess, man. Right.
So this is the story about all these women from, like, you know, because back in the day, the only white women were backup singers. And then slowly in the late 50s, early 60s and stuff, Black women started becoming backup singers. And so these women, amazing singers, and, you know, we're talking backup for, like, for the Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mary Chastain is known for the War Children is Just a Shot Away. You know,
right.
You hear that woman singing that part. I mean, and that's what makes the song.
Without that, without her singing,
then we would not be talking about this song at all.
You know, that song is Give Me Shelter, right?
Yep.
Is that the name of the song?
Yep. Yep.
So
yep.
It's like, you know, just, I mean, the work that these women put in. And they also talk about, like, Luther Vandross. He started off. No, they got paid for that one thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for the one session, but they never got. And, like, you know, Darlene Love, how she got screwed over by Phil Spector. It's just, I mean, these women. Oh, Jesus.
Well,
he screwed her over so bad. It was horrible.
That guy was tacky. Tacky guy.
Well, yeah. he's in jail, so yeah.
Yeah. You know, he got his.
I mean, sometimes karma is slow coming around, but when it comes.
Oh, man, it's like a vengeance.
It lures a fucking boom on you.
Can't wait to see Orange in Orange, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean,
he gets away with more, you know.
I know. It's just like he thrives on chaos. And that's how he rolls.
I have never seen anybody. It's like I said, when I sit back and watch what this man does, it gets to the point where my poor wife, Jandice, starts screaming at the TV. She's like, what the fuck does he have to do before somebody gets rid of his ass? You know?
It going to take?
Stand on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody. Maybe that'll work.
And speaking of standing on Fifth Avenue and shooting somebody, it's coming out, I think, next weekend. And this is next Friday on Netflix. When They See Us, it's going to be about the story of the Central Park Five.
Trial.
And you know, the one that once they were
Trump
found
put out a full
page Trump, ad. That's right.
Yeah, full size.
Yeah,
ad.
That's his. That was his entree into calling for the killing of innocent execution of innocent people. He picked that up a couple of days ago, calling for the killing of James Comey, Lisa Strzok,
McCabe,
right?
Andrew McCabe.
So,
leave, you know, or at least a page.
I have a suggestion on a show to watch. Watch Chernobyl. It's excellent. I've watched the first three shows. It's hard to watch, though. Because
my wife and I are watching it. Yeah.
I I'm just completely like the first show is like devastating. Yeah. And it's kind of reminds me of the Trump administration where you have these facts and then you have these political people from the Politburo going, no, that can't happen. But the core blew up and there was graphite on the ground. If you pick that
graphite, that's concrete.
Talking about Chernobyl. I tried to watch it.
It's
a show, and it just never grabbed, you know.
We're waiting on the next episode now.
Well, I like the actor, the Swedish actor, Stellan
Skarsgård. I should give it another shot then.
I'm going to wait until it fits, because I want to watch it, and I just have to. Yeah. I just got to make sure I have my Thorazine shot right next to me. And I mean, because when you see stuff like that, and when you know, like you said, there were warnings. People knew what was going on, and they were in absolute denial. And it's like, really? Really?
I don't mean to walk on you, hon. You know I love you. But we have Chernobyls everywhere. We have these nuclear plants built on fault lines near the ocean. We're just a disaster waiting to happen, man.
Yeah, you couple that with climate change.
Climate change and the fact that our
Exhibit A is Santa Onofre.
Thank you. And that
great. I'm going to die. Now. Thanks a lot, y'all. Freaking die.
Thanks for the impending news.
By the way,
his ass out of our house before this happens.
By the way, Darlene,
90 miles north of New York City, that's vulnerable too.
Darlene notes JB Smoove did a terrific job playing Frederick Douglass in the epic rap battle skit between Thomas Jefferson and Frederick Douglass. You can find it on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
Oh, speaking of stuff like that, has anybody ever watched Drunk History?
Oh,
yes, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Man, that shit is hilarious, especially when they start.
Drunk
hilarious.
Yep.
It's like
everybody around him anyway.
That is like one of my favorite shows. I forget that it's on, and I have to remember to watch it. But what I and another show that is just totally irreverent and hilarious, and it's kind of a dry humor, but it's still funny. Has anybody watched What We Do in the Shadows?
That sounds familiar.
No,
it was a movie about vampires in New York, and these guys are like, you know. They're stuck in like the medieval times, but then in modern times in New York. Well, there was a movie, but so they turned the movie into a series. And man, next Wednesday is the season finale. It's on FX. If anybody has a chance to watch it, because these guys they take themselves so seriously, and they're like sea level vampires. Okay, so it's just. It's so funny. Oh, my God. I mean, usually I don't like stuff like that, but I was flipping channels and it was on and I got sucked in. What We Do in the Shadows.
I have the FX app, so I should be able to watch it, but I have to endure commercials. You don't know if it's on like Prime commercial free for a dollar or something.
Probably is. Yes, as a matter of fact, I think it is.
I've got a question. Has anybody here watched
Catch 22 tonight? I ain't paying shit for it.
Are you? Have you been watching Killing Eve? It's in its second season.
Oh my god!
It's a great show. God. It's so good.
This season is off the fucking chain.
Yeah, it just takes you for a loop. You know, something surprising is going to happen in the last 5 minutes. You know, it's a good show. You check it out if you haven't seen it. It's BBC America, I think.
Really, as a matter of fact, I hadn't watched. For those who don't know, the first season of Killing Eve is on Hulu. So,
good.
Watch it on BBC America for on demand, but Sunday's episode is the season finale. Speaking of shows, has anybody watched Luther?
Yes.
Idris Elba.
Oh, so yes.
Hey, Bob. Next season is coming out on June the 2nd.
I'm going to mute my mic for a little while. Goat's got his head stuck through the stupid fence.
Happens.
I've got to go get his head out of the fence.
Happens to the best of us.
I'll be muted for a little bit.
happens around here all the time. only not with goats.
I look at him and think, how did you get the freaking horns? Well, we'll probably
be wrapping things up because I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning.
All right, Bob.
It's awful good talking
to you. To the group.
Have a wonderful evening, John, and a great weekend.
You too. Good night, John.
You too. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy, Tim, y'all, Steve, all of y'all, Rick.
Love
take
you,
it easy.
Uncle John. You take it easy.
We love
bro.
You right back, buddy. Y'all take it easy. I'm going to go rescue the goat.
Yeah.
Good man. Good man.
Hey, John.
Yes, we're going to go live on Sunday. I'll see you then.
Night,
y'all
John.
Stop in. Thanks, Dennis.
And by the way, an anonymous member of the community has answered $25 of Darlene's challenge. As a founding member of the sorority.
I go out the door with good news, Bob.
Right.
There you go.
Founding member of the sorority of Leans and a member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. So there's $75 left on that. were you saying something, Tracy?
Have you watched Killing Eve?
No. That's totally new.
You gotta watch it, Bob.
All right. Killing Eve. What network's it on, Tracy?
It's right now. The first season is on Hulu, and the second season and the series season finale is on Sunday. Is on BBC America or Prime Video.
See, I hurt my back. I'm taking all this in because I really can't do much except watch the damn TV. You know,
watch Killing Eve. And Luther. Yeah. The last four seasons are on Prime Video on Prime for the people who pay for Prime or
I mean, I have it.
So watch these. So you got Killing Eve, you got Luther. The next season, the fifth season, is coming out on I believe June the 2nd on BBC America.
Luther's on Hulu.
Luther's on Prime. It's on Prime.
Okay, but
Hulu has you got Claws, you got the first season of Killing Eve. Of course, Catch 22.
That's another one.
And like I said, on Netflix, you got Pose. You got the two killings of Sam Cooke. You got
What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows is
Killing Eve.
Yeah. So you got plenty of stuff. Well, that's why I watched the Game of Thrones because I wasn't one of those people who've been watching Game of Thrones since the beginning. I didn't start watching it until this year. And when I got pneumonia, I just binge watched all seven seasons. I would fall asleep, wake up and rewind where I fell asleep at. And, basically just pretty much stayed up 24/7 because I couldn't do anything else. But
What is this called again?
I had actually
considered watching the whole thing, but now that I know that it ended so shabbily, it just seems like it's not worth the effort.
It is worth the effort.
Okay, Bob, would you say the same thing about The Sopranos? Come on.
Hey,
I'm still pissed off about The Sopranos.
Yeah, a lot of people are, but I think
that last show in The Sopranos was weird.
I think it was perfect. It was a perfect ending. They were telling you what they were going to do to the whole last season. If you just follow the trail, it's all there. They tell you what they're going to do.
Oh, speaking of HBO shows that have been off for a long time, who watched The Wire?
I did. That's a great show.
That's another one for you.
Idris Elba in that too?
Yeah. And here's the funny part. I had never heard of him, right? And I'm watching the show and I did not even know that he was British.
Oh wow.
So I did not, but here's the funny part, when the show was going on, this is how cool Idris is. Because, how great he was on the show, Stringer Bell. And he would not speak in his British accent because he didn't want to take away from the show. he didn't want to spoil the illusion that he was, you know, a brother from America, you know, from America.
How
and
is
it's
it?
Like,
yeah, how is it that like actors from Australia? And
yeah, I don't
Great
understand
Britain,
that either, Bob.
No, how is it
understand.
That they can do these perfect American accents? But if an American, yeah. but if an American actor tries to do an Australian accent or a British accent, we
it's
just
hokey.
Come off we just come off sounding like assholes.
And I found out why. There's much more American television shown in those countries than British or Australian television here.
I think they're just better trained.
That's true.
Yes,
but that's basically what they've said, that because there's a lot more, you know, and let's face it, there's going to be more American shows shown over there, that, you know, because, you know, most Americans are kind of stupid. So it's like, you know, shows, you know, I love British television.
Well,
and I love Australian television. I mean, I used to love back in the day, you know, Monty Python and God Help Me, Benny Hill. But it's like, because I get the humor, you know. So, you know, you have to have a certain level of brain matter. Seriously, because you cannot be stupid.
And tolerant. True.
And by the way, over on Netflix, there is a documentary from like 2009, and I think it's like 5 episodes on Monty Python that I just watched. That was absolutely fascinating. It goes all the way up. It goes all the way up through Meaning of Life and the origins of Spamalot. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's, you know, they're hilarious moments, but just hearing the members of the cast talking about the process whereby those monumentally outrageously wacky, zany things came from in their heads. And the
so
fact,
it's like a retrospect.
Well, no, it's a documentary. I mean, it's not... Yeah,
right.
But
there's one similar to Laughing. I just wanted to interject that. In case you're interested.
I saw that. I was kind of skeptical.
Can I make a suggestion? HBO, watch Barry for Steve. That's a great show. It's a comedy. It's about 40 minutes per episode.
Back when I still had HBO, I actually watched a few episodes of that, and that was just nuts.
Didn't work for you, Bob?
No, it worked, but it was just that. I have a hard time making those long-term commitments.
Mm.
But getting back to these accents, real quick, and then I'm done for the night. Bob Hoskins, when he did Who Framed Roger Rabbit, I thought he was from New York. The first time I really heard him talk in his native tongue, it blew me away, man. I was like, what's he doing? Is he fucking with me or what? You know?
It's
amazing how they can talk like, you know,
and by
New
the
Yorker,
way, the
but we can't do that.
The Star Trek, the Star Trek nerds like me, are all excited at the prospect of Picard. There's going to be a new series that picks up where with Picard 20 years on, and they've released the first sort of tease trailer.
Bob, I appreciate you having a show tonight, brother.
That.
Really do.
Oh, none to
appreciate.
Yeah,
it was fun,
Bob. I was going to be here one way. I mean, sorry, I was late and everything.
One way or another.
Oh, it don't matter.
And I think, and
you got to do what you got to do.
I should probably let folks know that that's probably going to happen a few more times. Until we can do something about the transportation situation.
It's Friday. There ain't no worries.
And unless something just really awesome comes up, we'll be live for more on Monday evening.
Memorial Day. Yes.
The pork loin on Monday or Sunday, Bob?
It'll be.
It's actually next week.
It'll be brining all. It'll be brining all day tomorrow, and it'll go on probably hopefully about 11 o'clock, maybe 10 Sunday morning, weather permitting.
Well, that's the weekend of the 7th. It's not next weekend, but the weekend after. Is that correct?
Yeah. Oh, what, Malloy Fest? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Oh, I'm excited. My food is here. We got shrimp fried rice. I got
oh, nice. Carrots.
Rub it in.
Stir fry.
I got orange chicken. I got the flat noodles with the broccoli and beef. Yeah. Oh, and sticky mango with sticky rice.
Oh, yummy, yummy. Sometime when you're ordering Thai, look down the menu. Most Thai restaurants have a dish on there called Crying Tiger.
Crying Tiger. I'm looking at the menu right now. No, don't see it.
No? It's really good. There's no tiger in it.
But why does it make you cry? Is it super hot or something? Or?
I don't know. I guess it's one of those cultural things.
Oh. And I got yellow curry, too. Chicken yellow curry with the potatoes.
Oh, there we go.
Curry's good for you. It has turmeric, which is really good for your liver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited. I haven't really eaten today because I was gone all day. Because I left the house this morning at 6 o'clock, so because I had to go to Gardena and I wanted to.
Damn, Tracy. Shit, you ain't ate in 13 hours, man.
I lied. Okay,
I couldn't do that.
I went to Krispy Kreme. Okay, so Krispy Kreme, I get there.
Yeah, that counts. Calories.
I was all excited. I pulled in the Krispy Kreme because the hot light was on, right? And I'm like, shit, yes. So I get in and I'm like, why is there all these motherfuckers up in Krispy Kreme, right? Because I'm like, it gets busy, but it's never that busy. I mean, there was a line.
They must be giving away donuts or
something. No, they were. See, this is what was going on. They were having a special. If you buy one dozen donuts, you get another dozen for $1.
Nice.
I gotta know, though. Now, how far is your Krispy Kreme from you, Tracy?
Oh, it's nowhere near me. I was in Gardena, so that's just the only reason why I went there, because I had to be in Gardena.
Okay, so but, what you want to find out is, when is the hot now light on?
Oh, they have an app for that.
Yeah.
Because
that's when you want to be there.
I was excited because the hot light was on. So I get there, and I'm like I said, why are all these motherfuckers turning up in Krispy Kreme, right? And like I said, it's because of the special. And I was mad because I didn't have a coupon, because you needed a coupon. And I'm like, God damn it. Not that I needed a dozen donuts. It was actually 2 dozen donuts, but we're talking Krispy Kreme.
But understand, it's only the originals, just the plain Krispy Kremes that you can get hot now.
Right. But what
happens is when that hot now light is on, and you can feel the heat coming through the bottom of the box as you're walking to your car.
Yes.
You flip that thing open and you find that they're so light and so fluffy, you can cram a whole Krispy Kreme in your mouth at one time.
Yes, you
Bob, have you ever
and then you look down and you go, God damn, I just ate a dozen donuts.
Yes. And therein lies the problem, because see, since I didn't have the coupon, I just got 2 Krispy Kreme donuts. And I was just like, fuck. And I sat in the parking lot with my Krispy Kreme donut and my ice cold milk, and I'm like, damn it. I'm done already.
Oh, hey, and I'm like, Tracy, did you check at Ralph's and see if they've got that Promised Land Midnight Chocolate Milk?
We don't have it here. We don't have it. We don't have it.
Damn it.
I was going to text you a black woman emoji crying because, no.
Don't have it.
Martin Short play Jiminy Glick? He does these interviews with people, then all of a sudden he has this craving to eat like 4 donuts, and he just stuffs them in his mouth. But it's the hilarious.
Yeah, Krispy Kremes are like that, only, being all Canadian and stuff, those were probably like Tim Horton and like meh.
But Bob, have you ever been to Ponce de Leon and got one right off the production line?
That's what I'm talking about. The hot now light. They're all that way. Yeah, it is.
It's food porn.
They're all that way. When that hot now light's on, they're bing, 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 right off the conveyor belt. They come out of the fryer, and then they pass under that magical, mystical curtain of glaze.
Yeah. No.
And then they just roll down, and the steam is coming off of them because they're hot out of the fryer, and the glaze is hot too. And
Do they touch a little cinnamon on those, or
honey glaze? That's all you want. Glaze.
No, it's not. Yep. It's not honey. It's just sugar.
I've never eaten one.
Whatever.
It's just powdered sugar in a glaze, and
Wow.
But oh, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
You'll never be the same, man.
They got one.
We used to have a Krispy Kreme in the Valley, but they closed. Yeah. So whenever I get a chance, you know, and the only time I go to Krispy Kreme is when the hot light is on, because otherwise I don't care. But when if I'm driving by Krispy Kreme,
I can tell you, if you have to have it, you can just buy a box of regular Krispy Kremes in the grocery store, and you set one on a paper towel in the microwave for about
10 seconds.
No.
4 seconds.
4 seconds. And because there's nothing there. And so it immediately gets that hot that fast. And you can cram the whole donut in your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah, because Krispy Kremes,
I've never had a Krispy Kreme.
Sparky. Come on, man.
We have one donut shop in town. Ramos Donut Shop.
Oh, Sparky, you got to get out occasionally, man. Yeah. Krispy Kremes are
okay,
awesome.
Okay, next time somebody's going up that way, for Christ's sakes, please take a box of Krispy Kremes to Sparky.
A dozen.
I'd overnight them to him, but it wouldn't be the same, you know?
Well, that's what the microwave's for.
That's what the microwave for. Hey, Rick, have you ever been to Randy's Donuts?
You asked me that once before. I haven't.
Sacrilege.
I've got to put that down on my list here.
Especially on your way to go. Well, which way do you go to go see Star when you drive out there? Do you go the 405 or do you go the 5 to the 405?
Oh, Jesus, here we go.
Well, if I'm leaving from the office, I take the 405 to the 6th and 7/8, and then I go down to the, 2500s.
Follow Bob's shortcut. Take a left at the Elm Tree.
Where's Randy's? Where's the nearest Randy's?
It's on the 405. Get off on the Florence Manchester exit.
Okay.
And it's right off the freeway, and they got a drive-through. They got two windows. And what the trick is, because everybody doesn't do this, because they're open 24/7, so they're constantly making fresh donuts.
Oh.
The trick is to ask and see if they have anything warm.
Ah, okay.
And you want to pray that they have either the warm glaze twist or the warm regular glaze donuts, because their donuts are good cold anyway. But
so from the Manchester exit off the 405.
Yes. So when you get off the freeway, you're gonna go past Florence, and then right before Manchester, on the right hand side of the street. Listen to me. How often have I been here? You just pull right into the parking lot. There's two drive-through windows, and you come back out on Manchester or La Cienega and go right to the back to the on-ramp right past on La Cienega, and you're back on the freeway.
That sounds like fun. I better do it in the next 2 weeks because I start a new job. 2 weeks from today is my last day at the current job, and I'm going to be not moving, but starting a job in Orange County, working the same amount of time for double the pay, hopefully.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, Bob. We'll do a challenge next week for you.
Are you going to stay?
Or I'll tell you what. I'll throw you 25 now, Bob, okay?
Okay, well, that with...
Rick's new job.
The Rick's new job celebration of Darlene's challenge. And Darlene reminded me, because I'm worn out and not thinking real good. But that takes us to $25 on Darlene's challenge, because Tracy, you jumped in, and the anonymous person jumped in, and Rick jumped in. So there's $25 to go, which is awesome.
Yay! Will that complete the fundraising for the week?
No. That would
be no.
That would leave $45 to go.
Oh, okay. We can do it. We can do it. The overnight crew can do it. You know, folks who listen to the show.
Hopefully so. And meantime, I am going to knock off because I have to be up in 7.5 hours, which means I'm not going to go to sleep I'm going to get 5.5 hours of sleep tonight. Oh, well.
Well, you know, have some, you know, tequila with your, you know, swirly straw, and you'll be fine, Bob. You'll sleep
no,
well.
No, we've had this conversation. It's too late for him to drink and get up that early.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I don't spend some time with my pretty wife, I'm going to get snake eyed. So time to wrap it up.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is...
Well, say hi to the lovely Karen, Steve. And,
absolutely.
Say hi to the warrior princess, Bob.
I certainly will. And... You know, just the way things are, I think if I pick up a tequila bottle, I'm not going to put it down until I can use it for a telescope.
Oh, jeez. or put like a ship inside of there somehow, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it's been a great conversation. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful holiday weekend, everyone, and thanks for everything, and thanks to everybody who keeps the program on. Please have a thoughtful and contemplative Memorial Day, and enjoy the ones who didn't get to come home while you're enjoying the fact that they made it possible for you to be enjoying it. Thanks, as always, Sparky, for moderating the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable there in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to our subscribers and everybody who jumps in a la carte and ad hoc. Thank you for the challenge, Darlene and Chris. Thank you so much. Thanks to all the responses to the challenge. Thanks to all of you who just share your precious finite time engaging in the conversation. I'm so glad you do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks always to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for environmental justice and human rights in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.